And we are live. This is Dark Journalist. What a fantastic crowd we have out there in the ideas from tonight already. Of course, tonight I am joined by the lovely Olivia.
Hi, everybody.
And Miss Olivia, it's already campaign madness, mm-hmm. and it's only 2023. But in this case, we may have reason to be very, very excited because something kind of magical is going on in the background, which is we may have two major forces both going against the middle on this. And this could be very, very helpful in terms of getting rid of the Biden regime. But 2024 holds a lot of questions. So we're going to get into all of these tonight. And we're going to be going through the presidential campaign just announced, as I told you it would be, of RFK Jr. That is, we're going to just call him Bobby because that's what he likes to be called. I found out when I did some interviews with him, the depth of the man's knowledge and intent, and he's going to make an excellent candidate. They're already making moves against blocking his candidacy. So I'm going to tell you all about those. Of course, on the other side of the fence, we have President Trump. And President Trump, you know, going through all the slings and arrows of these legal cases, this is going to be quite remarkable, the way I kind of outline this tonight, because we're going to see what's really going on behind the scenes on this. The other piece, of course, in the middle is the Biden regime. And, you know, they have Biden up there, 81 years old, and a slave to these policies of centralization and really, you know, moving us into being more and more of a communist centralized, you could call it kind of commie fascist, I guess mm-hmm. that would be the quick take on it. And moving in step with this global machine, this kind of global dictatorship machine, our only chance in America, we can't have two terms of that. Even if they replace,
hell no.
Think about that. Even if they replace Biden with, you know, like a Gavin Newsom or Hillary Clinton or something horrible along this lines, not to mention Cacklin Kamala. Mm-hmm. But even if, you know, they do that, these policies and the group that's running them in the background, the committee, and the way that they're moving us further and further into this slave system, this is what we need to overturn, and we can overturn it with the presidency. There's a weird meme, sort of a thought form going around in the alternative media, and it runs something like this. Oh, that whole thing, you know, doesn't matter. The presidential election's just a show. Don't bother with it because nothing's going to change anyway. Well, in this case, it's a huge difference. We've already plunged dramatically since the Trump years into the Biden years. And, you know, if we go all the way back looking at the presidency of President Kennedy, look at how much things have fallen apart. The presidency is the most important office in the free world, and we can never take it for granted. We need to recapture it, and we need to do it with someone like Robert Kennedy on the left and someone like President Trump on the right. And, of course, both of them embrace policies that could be regarded as largely centrist. So the right-left thing is, again, illusory here. All we have is a war party run by Biden that includes Democrats and Republicans. And circling around, you have kind of libertarians, Green Party people. There's a lot of things that could form a more powerful force. And as we see these elections come down to very, very tiny margins, so I see some of those smaller parties making a dent. My God, I'd like to see the Libertarian Party finally do something.
Yes, I agree.
Aren't you tired of looking at them like 1%, you know, like you've had enough years and enough money and you're signed up in enough states. Let's go. You know, can you get a candidate over 10, 20%? So they need to really, I think, swing a big bat, but you know, there's a lot of institutional, prejudices against them because, for example, keeping them out of debates, things of this nature and, the whole media dive on all of them. So, but if we want this country to work, we're going to need a completely new leadership, and it has to happen in 2024. We cannot have Biden or a facsimile thereof, Stepford Biden, going into office again for a second term. America will not survive that. So this is very important for us to get our heads wrapped around what's going on with this and the move of attorney Robert Kennedy Jr. to kind of, you know, leap into this with the family history behind him. He is, after all, the son of Robert Kennedy, the attorney general, the late senator from New York. And the Kennedy legacy there is important because he has that, so much of it built in. I'm not saying that, you know, when Bobby announces his, you know, his plans, that you're going to agree with every single thing that he wants to do. Just like people with the Trump side, you're not going to agree with everything he wants to do or whatever other candidate. The important thing is that we get honest people who respect the Constitution and who will move us away from this globalist dictatorship centralization plan, because they're nipping not just at our heels at this point, they're up around, they're getting close to the jugular. So we need to make it really important. We also need to reform dramatically the intelligence agencies in regard to this. And if you have wild opinions about, you know, Trump or RFK Jr., just save it. Trust me, because I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you something tonight. And then after you have these facts, it's going to be a much better consideration on it. Because a lot of the stuff you've been fed, you know, we've seen it from every angle. I can't believe the actual avalanche. I mean, I suppose I can believe it, but on RFK Jr.'s presidential run before it's even announced, and he's going to do three different announcements now. One is on the books here in Boston. There's going to be another one in New Hampshire, and then one in Iowa. So, you know, these are very important, and this is going to be historical. And like I said, regardless which side of the political fence you come down on, it's going to be very important indeed for us to make sure that people who respect the Constitution get into that high office. And the presidential race is important, and we should put a lot of energy into it. So, you know, those memes circling around, I don't know where they're coming from on the independent side. This 2024 election, a lot depends on it. So we need to really, really, you know, take dead aim on this one. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Special Report. This is the mega showdown for 2024. I understand we're on this early, but there's a reason for that, which is that Bobby Kennedy just got into the race. And, you know, this is someone who I respect a great deal. He's done amazing things with his environmental advocacy. And one of the things that I've said always in relation to the independent media is, you know, having been around it enough, there's always this thing that whenever anything environmental comes up, it's like, oh, it's a government scam. Well, no, you know, in fact, a lot of the corporations have trashed the environment. That's the thing. But what they've been trying to do on the government side is, you know, create a control system on people over this and say like, oh, our climate's at risk. You know, you have to live a diminished life. And by the way, you have to pay us carbon credits. No, 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 no. You know, they're the companies who are sitting there with all these billions of dollars uninvested back in America on their balance sheet. They're the ones who should pay for the environmental cleanup. And I insist that they do, and that it be a part of any candidate's, you know, major policy. Because without that, and without the recognition of that, we can't have this knee-jerk thing that goes on along. It happens a lot in independent circles, which is because the mainstream is hyping this false version, just like there's a false version of UFO disclosure out there. It doesn't mean there isn't a legitimate crisis in relation to the environment. There absolutely is, the way that the environment has been trashed by these corporations, and the corporations can very well pay for the cleanup. And we can create a plan on the citizen side for them to do that and have some of these higher office holders implement that. So this is very important on our side to go for it. You know, I want to say this as kind of a commentary before we start, which is another thing I'm seeing floating around a lot is, oh, you know, get your guns and go hide in a bunker somewhere. It's not going to work that way. That might have worked in the 1950s or something, but the technology is such that a bunker doesn't do anything. You know, I've studied the technologies. They have heat-seeking technology protocols, these early developmental models over at MIT. God only knows what they actually have, but just from the stuff that I've read about, you know, you can't go anywhere. They'll know it. And, you know, the idea that you're going to sit around with a bunch of ammo and a bunch of gold, it's good to have precious metals and things. And, you know, it's good to be, to keep the Second Amendment sacrosanct, but, you know, this isn't the answer. The answer is engaging this whole process politically and turning the entire thing around. So, you know, I want to kind of state from the outset where I'm coming from on this. I want to do it as a point of view of working within the system to fix it. And I think it's very important for us to do that, because the idea that, you know, we can escape or something, it doesn't work. You're going to have to fix it within. There are tools left by the solid bonds of the Constitution, and there are solid tools, the judiciary, through elections and other things, that will provide us with the ability if we have the will. And a lot of this is an information game, and we need to get the proper kinds of information out to the right people so that they're supporting the right policies to get us out of this mess. And that includes the threat of nuclear war over there in Ukraine, where they just have, you know, this ridiculous sort of open checkbook, you know, going on between Biden and Zelensky. It has to stop, and the corruption there has to stop, and Biden should probably be prosecuted for all the things that he's
probably
been doing. Well, it's so interesting, you know. I think the idea that, you know, with the prosecutions we've seen against President Trump, they're so frivolous. And when you think of the incredible illegalities that have occurred in this administration, I mean, it's incredibly off the charts. But we're going to see how these all filter into a larger system tonight, because behind it all is a gigantic exotic technology wing that no one ever talks about. And that includes the UFO file directly and this X technology that we talk about extensively on this program. It's very important that we do that. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Special Report. We're going to go with you about an hour and a half tonight. How does that sound?
Sounds good.
And we will take your questions in the last half hour. Miss Olivia will be putting those together. How are you doing out there?
Doing great. Mark McLaren says, the kitty's waiting for DJ, always perks up when she hears his voice. She's been a long time listener. That's true. A lot of kitties really love the sound of your voice.
Well, listen, if I can get some cat fans going, I'm very happy for that.
Nothing better than a cat fan. They're hard to please.
They can use their paw on the like button. It's interesting, too, because speaking of paws, we just did our 5-year anniversary of the X series, and we did a 2-parter, which is Pawgate. And we did both of those last Friday and Saturday. We got a tremendous response from you guys, but I highly recommend these episodes. If you haven't seen it yet, make sure you take the time to do this. This is an archaeological breakthrough that's going to make a huge difference coming up here. And you heard it exclusively on this show. And there's a reason for that. And we stand on the shoulders of incredible psychics, researchers, archaeologists, and all the rest. But Pawgate, mark my words, this is going to be an explosion in terms of archaeological sort of retracing a lot of steps, redating a lot of things. And people have been in that game for a long time. A lot of people that I've known are really outstanding and lived and died doing this, you know, from late John Anthony West to Carmen Bolter. There's a reason they spent the time on it and showed us the way. They couldn't live to see it, but for sure, we'll have the ability to fulfill that legacy if some of these things are picked up. And Pawgate is a major breakthrough, in my opinion. Okay. Now, we've got a couple of things in here. One, the incredible Kennedy legacy coming into this 2024 election. Two, the exotic technology UFO file factor, which was a major factor, as we've put forward on this program, in the Kennedy assassination, the assassination of President Kennedy. And the battle in the deep state between those forces, those centralization forces, looking for more and more power through emergency powers, and the continuity of government people, they all come into the picture tonight. But what I'm going to start with is these very unusual reports going on that relate directly to, actually, what I'll start with the RFK part, and then I'll get to this UFO file part, because that'll balance it out. All right, so the theme of this campaign, newly announced, is unity and, you know, ending this kind of corrosive division going on. And this is the theme that I think that Bobby Kennedy is going to be able to pull off, because as someone in his own career, he has friends on both sides of the aisle, as his uncle and his dad did. You know, it's interesting because they had a lot of Republican, you know, very close Republican friends. And interestingly enough, there was quite a friendship between President Kennedy and Barry Goldwater. And, you know, that if that's not an odd couple, I don't know what is. But this is the kind of thing that I think that RFK is capable of bringing to the fore. Now, ever since Bobby has announced that he's running for president, and the full announcement, as I said, doesn't even come till April 19th, there's going to be a series of events. But interestingly enough, there, you know, is this push on in the liberal media, what used to be the liberal media. Now they're neoliberal, insane media. But, you know, they want to kill you if you haven't had a vaccine. That type, the same one who are putting their own left-wing writers like Glenn Greenwald, you know, they want to sort of put them through the mill because they've been really exposing this stuff. So that used to be what was the left. This other thing, neocons moved in, MSNBC moved in, and we have this kind of insanity machine going on. But that group is particularly appalled at the idea of a Kennedy presidency. And one, it stops their Stepford Biden gravy train. And two, you know, the intelligence community will not be very happy with a Kennedy in the White House. And three, this is really, you know, maybe the core aspect here, which is their entire plan is to, you know, completely hand over the country to the WHO through the CDC. And that's something that just won't happen with Bobby Kennedy in there. So this is why he presents such a danger and why the ambush was on almost immediately. Now, right off the bat, he noticed it. And a lot of us did. But I'm going to read some of his comments. And something that he said today is that, is it a sign of my campaign's strength that the elite of DC's establishment media simultaneously and shamelessly published an orchestrated and baseless lie to smear me, even before I announced my presidential campaign? CBS News, Bob Costa, The Washington Post, Daily Beast, Vanity Fair, and Salon are circulating fake news that the American people have come to expect and despise. Boy, is that true. Steve Bannon has nothing to do with my presidential campaign. I've never discussed a presidential run with Steve Bannon. This is really fascinating because Bannon, of course, directly out of the Trump campaign, that whole history, Breitbart, and, you know, when he got into the Trump White House, he helped him get in. There's no question about it. But when he got in there, he turned out to be someone who's maybe a little ornery and a little hard to deal with. And Trump is just like, I'm not dealing with that. But after a while, Bannon came back around and became his number one supporter in the 2020 election. And, you know, they have him up on some cooked up charges. Whatever you think of Bannon, and by the way, it's a major mystery school tie on the Gurdjieff side with Bannon, which, it, you know, for people who watch the show and understand the mystery school research, it's quite interesting because Flynn also has a major mystery school tie. But I think this, you can start to see who they're targeting as enemies here. Who are the enemies of the deep state? Well, it's obviously Bobby Kennedy and Donald Trump, because here they are putting them together. So they've gone after Trump. They've gone after his associates, and Bannon being a key associate. And now they're trying to tie Robert Kennedy in this way as well. So you see how this works. That system that's operating there is now facing a battle on two fronts. And this is good. It's good for America and it's good for the world. The thing is, right now, Bobby Kennedy and President Trump are both working for the same thing, which is to remove the corrupt regime of Stepford Biden. Now, what's interesting is, you know, Kennedy is coming in, his whole family, the whole legacy is Democrat. And a lot of people have said, well, can't they run as independents or something? No, you have to plan that off dramatically in advance. Then you have to register in 50 states and all the rest of it. None of that has taken place. So you're not going to see any independent candidacy with a Trump Kennedy merger. It's a nice idea, but it's not happening. What you could see in a really far flung scenario is a unity ticket on the Republican side, which would have a Donald Trump and a Robert Kennedy, but I don't think either would do that. So, you know, for me, I put it in the lowest possible percentile, but I know a lot of people have mentioned it. So I wanted to address it. And I've talked of a unity ticket before because it's something that Abraham Lincoln pulled out in 1864 and it worked. So going back to the media onslaught against Kennedy, here's what they're trying to do. They're trying to create a scenario where the Democrats preemptively will start to think of Bobby Kennedy as a threat and that he's in league with those evil Trump people, right? this goes very, very strange, because the bizarre bedfellows that arise as a result of this deep state squeeze are just remarkable. Now, what we've been seeing in the liberal media is this. Robert Kennedy bets on New Hampshire to boost a very unlikely presidential bid. Well, it's not so unlikely, actually. Do you know that the latest poll that they've done in New Hampshire has Biden at 18, that's 18% in a Democratic matchup. And the people he's matched up with aren't even announced that they're running. also, he's going to have major, he already has, Bobby Kennedy running against him. And he also has Marianne Williamson running against him. But they're going to announce other challengers. And, you know, when a president goes into a second term on his own side, for example, Trump in 2020 didn't have any challengers, you know, any serious challengers at all. So when you are going for a second term, that's not supposed to happen. Think of it like Obama in 2012. He didn't have any primary contenders. Bush in 2004, no primary contenders, because you're going in and the party unites behind their candidate. The fact that this is already split means that's going to be a major debacle. The last time that this happened in earnest, well, there have been a number of occasions, but you have to go back in time. And the most major one happened with a Kennedy, and it was Ted Kennedy versus Jimmy Carter. And Carter was so weakened by the Iranian hostage crisis and was such a mess in terms of his presidency that Ted Kennedy thought, you know, this is the time to do it. But they used a lot of things against Ted Kennedy. And Ted Kennedy, it was, the timing was different. The country was actually swinging in a conservative place. And here's the ultimate sort of liberal Democrat. And Ted Kennedy, a lot more of a liberal Democrat than, say, Bobby or Jack. You know, he just picked up this different kind of mantle. But he was in the Senate for decades and did a lot of great work. What's interesting is Ross Perot, although he ran as an independent, it was a similar type of situation, because the incumbent was weak. That was Bush. But the challenger also wasn't quite up to snuff. And that was Clinton. Clinton was having all kinds of problems because of affairs and everything else. Jennifer Flowers. And so Perot rolled in there, and he was actually, in the poll numbers, he was beating both of them. But this is a similar scenario, that there's a third force that's going to be operative here, and it's going to be kind of major, regardless of how this all comes out. Now, you might see the emergence of an independent party during this process. But some of it may be cooked up. You might find a phony, you know, these phony challenges in the Republican primary. Also, you know, like Liz Cheney and other COG people like that. You're going to see on the Republican side with Trump, certainly some primary challenges. But I'm going to get into that in a minute, because of all of his primary challenger numbers look terrible. And what it's looking like right now is that Trump has a tremendous chance to lock up the Republican nomination, and he's leading in the general election numbers. And what's weird is that the cases against him are actually helping him. Figure that one out. What do you think of that?
Sorry, I didn't catch it.
It was one of those looks. There is, you know, there's something that's going on there with those Trump prosecutions. And the more we see of that, the more, you know, we're going to see people are starting to figure out, oh, wait a minute, this guy's being targeted. Okay. Now, in every article about Bobby Kennedy, they say, oh, vaccine skeptic. Or, as Jake Tapper liked to put it, quack. They just call him a quack. How's that for professional reporting? I mean, you know, Jake Tapper's a Democrat, too. So why is Bobby Kennedy such a threat to the Democrats? He is a Democrat. He comes from a Democrat family. What's the problem? Pharmaceutical companies, the CIA, you know, these are the problems. And they're controlling, completely taken over the Democrat Party. Unfortunately, this is probably the last chance for the Democrat Party to have anything real, because after this, you know, what are you going to do? And some say it's already over for the Democrat Party, and that could well be. But certainly this challenge by Bobby Kennedy is going to make a huge difference. Now, I'm going to get into this situation that was going on here in New Hampshire. So let's trek with this. DNC delivers blow to New Hampshire and Iowa with overhaul of primary calendar. This is how they figured out that Stepford Biden could avoid any challenges. They would go right to South Carolina. And the problem with New Hampshire and Iowa is that Biden has incredibly weak numbers. As I pointed out, he only has 18% and he's president. This is how presidents who are running for re-election have fallen before. For example, LBJ in 1968, he ran in the New Hampshire primary, and Eugene McCarthy, who was a senator from Wisconsin, took him on. And no, he was actually from Minnesota, and he took him on and he almost won. And he was basically like a very marginal figure. So that's what convinced RFK, you know what, I can get into this race and beat him. And as soon as RFK announced, and that came forward, then LBJ got out because he realized, well, one, they're going to assassinate him, and two, I can't be seen as the recipient of two Kennedy assassinations. But this, I think, is important because what they did was very sneaky. New Hampshire's always been first in the nation primary, and primaries have become more important, say, since 1960. But the first in the nation status is something they've done. Iowa's always been the caucus first. That's a caucus, and the first primary has always been New Hampshire. For them to change this is a sneaky move. The next thing that the DNC announced to New Hampshire and other states was no debates. We don't care who's running, no debates. We won't fund it, so don't you offer it. And not only that, if you don't take our new schedule, no money for you for these elections. So the DNC is a completely captured entity. But interestingly enough, in New Hampshire, guess what? They're not going to take it. New Hampshire isn't having it. Elected officials from the first in the nation state are none too pleased about the DNC's proposed new primary calendar. In February, the DNC voted to change the order of its primary, upending decades of political tradition and really upsetting New Hampshire in the process. Yeah, well, I can see why. The change to the calendar isn't final yet. So New Hampshire's leaders, including Maggie Hansen, Secretary of State David Scanlon, and Governor Sununu, are wasting no time voicing their strong opposition. Now, these articles were coming out in February, and this is all a preemptive action because they knew RFK was going to get in. Now, here's a couple of interesting things. Interestingly enough, they used all these excuses. They were like, oh, it's racist to have it there every time, you know, anything that they could get their hands on. And this is how the Biden operation works, which is they know that they don't have the support and they can only really govern by emergency powers, you know, or they can pull out these kind of like, oh, you know, we have some wild thing here and it's racist. So we, you know, let's get this our way. And that's their go-to card over and over again. In a letter to the DNC, Biden pushed for this new primary schedule because it would diversify the voters. They get a say in the early nomination process. Now, he won in South Carolina. It was the thing that rescued his candidacy. So this is a real move. RFK, you know, Bobby writes a letter directly to the New Hampshire authorities at the Democratic Party and says, no, no, no. Like, what kind of a message is this sending when he's cooking the numbers and he's not going to face a challenger and no debates? And so now the people in New Hampshire are saying, we're going to run our own primary. You know, if you want to take part in it, DNC, then be our guest. So here's the DNC's response. The DNC members called New Hampshire Democrats' repeated comments about the process shocking, disturbing, irresponsible. It does not help us. It does not help the party to have this divisiveness and to share it in public, said Lee Saunders, a member of the committee and a labor union president. We should never talk like that within the DNC. Oh, what is this? North Korea? Last week, the New Hampshire primary Democratic Party chair, Ray Buckley, told Politico that losing his state's first in the nation primary status had never been broached to us by anybody of influence within the party, including by anybody in a top position in the White House. Senator Jeanne Shaheen and Maggie Hansen have also taken to the cable news airwaves op-ed pages to express their disappointment and frustration. I was taken aback and quite frankly shocked. Now, here's the thing. They did this all in the background and they didn't even tell the New Hampshire authorities that they were going to do this. They just slipped it in and said, okay, you know, we decided by committee. And so it's the DNC chair who's trying to run interference for Stepford Biden. Now, I told you that Stepford Biden got 18% in a poll that was done in February in New Hampshire. What did he get in 2020? Well, I went back to get the exact numbers because I remember they were dismal and everyone said, oh, he should get out, and he should have. But he was saved by the machine. Now, what he got, in fact, was 8%. 8% as a presidential candidate in New Hampshire. This guy will bomb out, and they know it. And they also know that Bobby Kennedy is very popular here in New England and right up in New Hampshire, if it's the first in the nation status, that he will kick Stepford Biden to the curb in terms of the voting process. He'll win dramatically and handily over the corrupt Biden administration. So that'll be a real kerrang through that whole thing. A lot of people who, you know, were dyed-in-the-wool Democrats are going to take a look at this and say, like, huh, maybe this guy can win. And he does have that Kennedy background, and he has an exemplary record as an environmental lawyer. Maybe we should take a second look. That's what they're afraid of. And so if he comes in and sweeps through Iowa and New Hampshire, then it'll set up these other states. Now, that wave is the same wave that Jack Kennedy rode in 1960. And it's also the wave that RFK would ride. The first hit of that was McCarthy, like I said, in New Hampshire. But it always starts there. It's the upset. And there was another case of George Bush the senior. Now, he, President Bush was interesting because by 1990, he was riding high in the polls because of Desert Storm and all that. But then the economy tanked and Clinton came on strong and he was looking terrible. So Pat Buchanan, the conservative commentator, got in there and almost decked him in New Hampshire. And he got into the race and he was a big challenger. Bush had to actually spend money and do all these events to fend off the challenge from Pat Buchanan. By the time they got to the RNC, they had to seed all these things in the platform because, you know, the platforms don't really matter anyway. But Pat Buchanan got himself in there.
Where's he been lately? I haven't seen him.
He has officially retired. And, you know, he was pretty ahead of his time on a number of subjects. He had the incredible presidential background. So what we do have here shaping up, you can see, is and what happened ultimately is Bush lost to Clinton. Well, when you get a strong challenger from inside your party, you're looking, you know, it's going to shake things up and you're looking weak going into the general election. So in this case, if Biden is already losing to Trump and then he has a strong challenger, and let's say he would prevail over Kennedy, he'd be so damaged by it when he went against Trump, he would lose. But what can actually happen in the better outcome would be to have Kennedy win, beat Biden, take the Biden regime out of the picture, and then you would have Trump versus Kennedy for the general election. That's the kind of choice that we can get behind. And that's kind of moving us into that pose of constitutional government, because they both believe in constitutional government, one on one side, one on the other. And like I said, you know, the party affiliation doesn't matter. All we need are people who respect the Constitution and will protect the border, protect us from the runaway pharmaceutical takeover of our country. And so these candidates become very, very important in this. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. Excellent group out there tonight. It's great to have so many of you with us in this special report. And we're looking at this kind of mega presidential showdown coming up in 2024. This is an early look at it because we got the announcement from Bobby Kennedy Jr. that he is, in fact, running for president. I put that on the map earlier this year. I had heard some things that it was coming, but also for me, I was thinking if, you know, it's now or never, somebody on that Democratic side has to save the rest of the party from the Biden forces just coming in there. And God knows what they're planning to do with Biden, because I've also seen a lot of polls of his weakness in general, his approval ratings being way down. And they know that, you know, there's economic tumult. There's this incredible, you know, mismanaged war situation going on in Ukraine. And there's the 87,000 IRS agents that are armed and announcing their new program for how they're going to get money for Biden to hand over to Zelensky, pretty much. And by the way, we can also start covering all of the Ukrainian pensions. Well, you know, you have to take care of things in America first. And, you know, the idea of helping an ally is one thing, but taking over their pensions, you can't even guarantee Social Security at this point. So no, those policies, wherever they're coming from, and whatever deals are going on in the background with these black budget military contractors, all that needs to be exposed if we're ever to get things right and on the right path again. So we're right in the middle of it, and we have an unusual opening, an unusual opportunity that harkens back. It does harken back to the 1960s in a sense. But what's more important is it's so important now. The history gives us that tapestry, and we understand what happened when the deep state took over, and now is an opportunity to get some of that back before they take us all over a cliff. I want to remind you to go to the darkjournalist.com site, by the way, and especially if you're new, sign up for our free newsletter. It keeps us in touch. One of the things that we've been experiencing is dramatic, and I mean truly dramatic, censorship across all platforms, but particularly here. And it's interesting, too, because there's so many of you out there who watch the program and tell me, you know, I don't get notifications and things. Well, the newsletter will really solve that for you and make sure that you do it. It's a free newsletter. It comes once a week and lets you know the incredible guests that we have coming up for you, along with remarkable X series episodes and some very exciting documentaries and even events that you're going to want to know about before they happen. So stand up and be counted, get over there and sign up for that newsletter. And with that, now let's move to President Trump.
Okay.
How are you doing out there?
Doing great.
Yeah. We're going to take questions. We'll do it in the last half hour. How's the temperature?
Really enthusiastic.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Do you have something?
No, lively. Margie O says, I don't trust any politician really, but Bobby Kennedy would bring hope, I'm sure. And Part Du says, RFK Jr. was willing to be called names in order to be an actual leader of humans. That man deserves to be respected and supported.
Yeah, I think the kind of courage factor there.
He's got balls.
Yes, there's no question about it. And this is exactly what's so important, you know, when we're looking at the situation. And some of our own cynicism about the political process is going to be important to take a look at, because, you know, there's good reason for it, especially with everything that's gone on. However, we want to make healthy choices. We want things to go forward in a positive fashion. And we have an opportunity here, and it's the same thing. It kind of is like, you know, when Hitler sort of, he took on simultaneously, oh, I'm going to take on America, England, and Russia. You know, that was the tricky part. So here we have the Stepford-Biden regime, and they're taking on Trump. You know, they're getting their DAs to file these phony charges. It was the trumped-up charges. the cliche is on. But what's interesting is with a very major, I mean, Kennedy could run away with this thing if it's positioned properly and if his supporters really come out and get behind it. I mean, this is better than some Bernie Sanders joke. This is real, the real deal. And, you know, you're going to find that the Kennedys moved away from the traditional Democrat machine, believe it or not, in 2008 with Obama, because the Clintons, Hillary Clinton was coming on so strong. And they were pressuring Kennedy, and Ted Kennedy wouldn't go for it. And he actually put his support behind Obama. Now, Obama just turned into a clerk for the banks or whatever, but the Clintons and stopping the Clintons was so important. So you can see that that divide started to happen there. And it was very interesting, too, because everyone else wanted to lay down before the altar of the Clintons. But, you know, Ted Kennedy was aware of the corruption around President Clinton, and President Carter had called his pardon of Mark Rich, who was the billionaire financier who was country hopping to get away from all these charges, and Clinton pardons him. And Jimmy Carter said, that's disgusting. You know, that's another president on the same party calling out another president. That's quite remarkable. But Jimmy Carter was right. And Carter has a wonderful, you know, sort of history of making these statements. But so I think that was significant. Now, you know, a lot of people will say, well, you know, Bobby Kennedy has expressed support for the Democratic Party. His family is the Democratic Party. This is the thing. They have the history and the legacy. But they are the true Democrats, the real liberal Democrats with policies to uplift the country that comes out of the tradition of the 50s and 1960s. It's a totally different breed of animal. They're anti-war. That's one. Two, they believe in returning power to the people. I mean, these are different shades of the same thing when you get to a real constitutional Republican who wants to, you know, not get us involved in foreign entanglements and things of this nature. So these two sides, actually, the more libertarian side of the Republican Party and the true side of the Democrat Party, have a lot in common. That is the combination that can win in 2024. And that group that is trying to seize power in emergency powers, they are scared by this combination that they're facing off against. So what they're trying to do is, you know, as I was saying, pour on the whole Bannon thing. Let's look at Trump's, some of the things that are coming out on the Trump side here. And this is going to get us, there's a lot of crossover with the Trump Kennedy thing as well. I'm not saying that, you know, they're the best of friends or anything else, but before all the political stuff, Trump was close with JFK Jr. There's been a lot of weird things that have come through. You know, they've done all this weird stuff during the last election with Q and JFK Jr., all this bizarro stuff. I believe all that was run by the Democrat CIA machine. And what they wanted the ability to do was, you know, just call anyone who was pro-Trump crazy, and they latched this whole thing on. But in truth, Trump knew JFK Jr., and he knew that whole side of the Kennedys. And in fact, he was going to select RFK Jr. for a vaccine commission. And that whole process got thwarted by Bill Gates, interestingly enough. So that's quite unfortunate that Bill Gates got in Trump's ear and said, oh, no, you know, don't let Bobby Kennedy do that. In the meantime, as we reported earlier this week, you know, we're looking at the whole prosecution of Trump by the corrupt DA in Manhattan, Alvin Bragg. And Bragg came forward with his case, and it didn't reveal the crime. It revealed misdemeanor crimes, but it didn't reveal what somebody would get charged with a felony over. So, you know, even liberal publications like Rolling Stone, for example, said Alvin Bragg's case against Trump is still a mystery. The Manhattan DA released the indictment today after Trump's arraignment, but we still don't know enough to evaluate the prosecution. This was a problem, the way that they've done this. Now, interestingly enough, someone in the background, Judge Napolitano, who I've quoted on this show before, and who is generally a libertarian judge who's done some interesting commentary. He used to be a Fox commentator. Now he does his own stuff. But he's put interesting things on the record before relating to Trump's impeachment, the JFK assassination files. This time, he really got us thinking, because he said that he's been hearing from Democratic circles that it was actually Hillary Clinton who was behind this activity of Bragg making this prosecution, because there's a big push behind the scenes to appoint Kamala, who's been a disaster as a VP, to you know, some federal judgeship somewhere and install an emergency VP, and they would just vote her in the way they did Ford for Nixon when Spiro Agnew went to jail. So then Biden could say, oh, no, you know, I'm too old to do it after all, or I have to step down for some reason, and then she could take on this 2024 election. That's a whole wild card scenario that he presented, and I think we should keep an eye on it. You know, I'm not going to explore anything deep about Hillary tonight, but I think that there's some reason to question the idea of whether this deep state operation to get Trump included the Bragg indictment, because the Bragg indictment's so weak that it looks so infinitely beatable that there's something strange about them bringing it. And something almost absurd, even liberal newspapers, you know, liberal media sites, everything they're saying, that's strange too. They're not behind this guy. Something happened in the mix there. This guy actually turned the case down earlier last year. What's going on here? A couple of things from the Rolling Stone article. It's ultra liberals, right? And this doesn't make any sense for them to be against it, but here we are. What we don't know, at least with the precision necessary to evaluate the case strengths and weaknesses, is the district attorney's specific legal theory of how Trump was defrauding anyone and how he was promoting or concealing a crime by doing so it's crucial to understanding this case. Some argue that Bragg will have to prove that Trump conned someone out of money or property, or at least impeded the government's functions to prove his falsified his books with intent to defraud under the statute. We don't know Bragg's theory of how he'd meet that burden because neither the indictment nor the statement of facts spells it out. Absolutely true. So strangely enough, some truth from Rolling Stone, and they don't believe in this case. I remember even CNN and those guys, they weren't behind it. How bad does your case have to be for those people not to support it? Okay, here's been the impact since they brought this incredible kangaroo case, which I still think is highly dangerous because they're charging on an unprecedented faction, a precedent of the United States, with these crimes. They did the raid already. That's never happened to a president before. It didn't happen to Clinton when he was in trouble. It didn't happen to Nixon when he was facing a trial. So, you know, they've really gone above board to show that Trump is the exception. I'm going to get into why Trump is the exception as well. All right. But in the meantime, here's the fallout. Trump's campaign has raised over $12 million since the indictment. Okay. This is the way that this is going. His numbers have skyrocketed on the Republican side, and those bleed over into the crucial independents that he'll need if he's going to win. Right now, he sits at 48% in the polls, and Biden sits at 42. That's a six-point advantage from somebody who's constantly getting harangued by the mainstream media. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Here's another one. Trump surges to 26-point lead over Ron DeSantis in the 2024 GOP presidential primary post-indictment poll. Trump is on a roll, and them doing this actually plays into it. Here's an interesting thing about Trump that I've noticed. When we get into these situations with Trump, when the deep state overreaches, like they did with the impeachment, you know, ordeals and all this nonsense and Mueller and all that junk, and the FBI and the CIA, you know, he's a threat to society and call the 25th Amendment, all that stuff. Whenever the overreach is on, there's a weird counter punching quality to President Trump. There's a weird, you know, rope-a-dope thing that takes place. It's almost like it inspires him out of his own, you know, doldrums of getting into fights and things. And he has a smooth way of handling these types of attacks. It's remarkable. A bit of jujitsu that takes place there. Yes.
Well, you're a boxing fan. And yes. You've seen this.
Yes, that's true.
Would it relate it to any particular boxer?
I think that that kind of, you know, psyching out the opponent thing is something that comes natural to him when he's attacked. And in fact, he does not perform as effectively when he's not under attack. This is an interesting thing. A lot of people are quite the opposite, but a lot of the major kind of business baron guys, they're like that. And so you always have to watch out for that, as it were, when you are on this kind of campaign to just on a witch hunt against somebody, that they might, all that energy you're throwing against them might be curved back at you. And if it is, you know, woe betide, as they say.
Also, defending your title is different from going after the title.
It is. You need the eye of the tiger. Mm-hmm. What is that? Rocky III? It's one of them. So let's get into a couple of things behind the scenes. We know this is what's floating around on the surface. What's going on in the background? Well, it was the same thing that was going on with Trump in the background during his presidency. There's some element there that can't stand him operating on these power levels with the rest of their minions. And to me, it goes directly to the exotic technology front. That is that Trump is aware, just as they are aware, that this exotic X technology is going to be running everything. And you heard of the Everything app from Elon? Well, they're going to call that X. You know, when we put forward X steganography on this show for the first time, we brought it forward in 2018. Since that five-year period, all of the X stuff has started to come out. It's almost like they can't even help themselves. And the X steganography and how it relates to advanced technology is something that's, you know, throughout all the reports that we do here on this program. But in a nutshell, this advanced technology that resides within the UFO file becomes the major decider in so many different elements of the government. And it's moved in a secret fashion through these various offices of government. So the UFO file becomes a crucial aspect. If Trump, coming into office, had this knowledge of the UFO file and knowledge of the exotic technology, he would be a different type of opponent than just an ideological opponent. And that's the crucial thing. That explains some of the, you know, peeling his opponents off the ceiling. Whenever you mention Trump's name, you know, people just go ape. And not that Trump is, you know, Mr. Nice Guy or anything of that nature, but, you know, we've had people mix it up in the political arena before. I mean, the hatred for Trump on the establishment side is beyond anything I've ever seen. And I've gone back and tracked through different generations and histories, going back through my parents' generation and stuff, looking at the people and the presidents that they dealt with. And when I've done that, I haven't found anything close. Even the Nixon stuff, which, you know, does really get to the heart of things in terms of the hatred that the country had, you know, but he had just as many supporters and all the rest. But the establishment dislike of Nixon at that point still doesn't get anywhere close to what they were doing with Trump, which is just outright lie after outright lie and really bizarre. You know, at least Nixon actually got himself into trouble. you know, and there's a lot of things that I think untold around that. But nonetheless, Trump, you know, is somebody who suffered not one, but two different impeachments. I mean, when do you see that in history? And then a presidential raid of Mar-a-Lago, and now the first indictment of a president, which is precedent setting in history. And nobody on the presidential side wants that. You know, you think Bill Clinton was looking at that and thinking to himself, oh, what about all the things any local prosecutor could charge me with? Wait a minute. You know, that's why you saw people like Jeb Bush, for example, coming out against this. I thought that was strange. Okay. Let's get into the exotic a little bit. We know that during his presidency, he made unusual references to the UFO file. He started the Space Force, which is a massive endeavor and a new arms, you know, armed forces service since, you know, we haven't had a new one since the Air Force. So we're looking at something totally different and totally strange in relation to space going on here. A lot of different presidents were in there and said, we're going to do something with that space council. We'll do something. They didn't do anything. But Trump did. And he got it there. And there were some things about Space Force that were shortcuts. And I think it should have been cited as a, you know, space defense exploration kind of outfit. Instead, you know, they said they used the whole wartime thing in space, which is exactly what President Kennedy warned against. So Space Force and its mission needs to be redefined as really scientific. But what I do find, and I think it's very interesting, is Trump's approach on this, showing his own knowledge. And all of these attempts, remember, are the executive's attempt to pull the UFO file back under that executive umbrella and away from the agencies and the ex-protect type groups that we've discussed on this program. This becomes very important because when you're president, you want to be able to say, well, you know, my president, or is this whole other wing controlling this advanced technology? Well, that's not being very presidential. This gets down to exactly what President Kennedy was fighting against. And I'm going to get into President Kennedy as well. Trump proposes building 10 freedom cities and, watch it, flying cars. Okay. Now, March 3rd on that. Okay. Before, he talked about invisible planes, and they were like, well, he misspoke, you know, and he was like, no, I mean it. so he knows, and he's revealing bits there and saying, hey, I don't mind talking about, they should know we have this advanced stuff because they'll be more afraid of us. You know, this is very Trump. And the deep state really hiding so much of this. Now, think of that car reference. Now, during the whole shoot downs of those UFOs and balloons and things that took place in February, just before Trump's statement, what was the U.S. saying it was shooting down? U.S. says it shot down a car-sized UFO over Alaska. That's the Pentagon spokesman, military officer Kirby. So, flying cars and the shoot down of UFOs about the size of cars. Start to put these things together a little bit. Somebody's testing something. Somebody's working something out. As we've described on this program, and actually our most popular episode of the X series is a Tesla, Trump, and the time capsule. It goes into that background that President Trump has around the exotic technology and the UFO file, and that knowledge comes directly through his uncle. It's undeniable, and we've put enough on the record about that. I won't go too much into it, but I want to say for the record, the way that that loop works is that John Trump, the professor, MIT, he was an engineer, and he, you know, worked on very, very high secret projects involving space and x-rays and all the rest. And one of the things that I found very interesting when I was researching him maybe 5 or 6 years ago is that I found a direct connection and put it on the record that Vannevar Bush was his mentor. Now, this is important because when we put it on the record, it wasn't out there. And you subsequently have seen a lot of people just kind of referencing it in this weird void. But it's very important, and I think we need to do this more in the independent community, is where do things come from? You know, where does the revelation around a particular thing come from? And I do a lot to cite sources on this program. And, you know, I've talked a lot about how certain types of JFK researchers, guys like Jefferson Morley, get ripped off a lot because, you know, it makes a splash tweet or it makes somebody's podcast. But the background of it is so important because it keeps a lineage of the knowledge. And if somebody puts together, you know, this happened with Morley in relation to his discovery of the tape, the Watergate tape, and he tracked this whole discussion after listening to hours and hours of these Watergate tapes. And he found one where Nixon was discussing the who shot John angle and basically blackmailing the CIA and saying, tell me everything that you know about what you guys did, and then I'll be able to protect you better. This was a very important thing that came out in a book early last year called Scorpion's Dance that he wrote about CIA Director Helms and Richard Nixon and their weird back and forth. So the who shot John angle and all that comes directly from Morley. We reported on that program and cited Morley because I would never bring somebody's work up without citing them. I don't know. This seems to have proliferated dramatically in podcast land. But what happened was when we brought that forward in the context, you know, then we started to understand, oh, well, Nixon, a lot of the trouble that he got into was he wanted to know what was going on. He wanted the full story of the CIA assassination of President Kennedy, but there he was on tape talking about how he would protect them from this because he knew they were guilty. That's important, and it's historic. But on the other side of the fence of that, there was this weird splash of everybody running away with Morley's finding of this Watergate tape without going back and citing, just saying, hey, this is a tape that got released. Well, it was Morley who found it, so, you know, this is important, I think. So let's go back now to Vannevar Bush and the things that we've exposed about Vannevar Bush and Trump. Now, Vannevar Bush was in charge of the UFO file, according to Robert Sarbacher. Robert Sarbacher was the top physicist in America in the 40s and 50s. He worked closely, and I found out through the family members of T.T. Brown that he was his best friend and that they made trips together every year. Well, putting that on the record was quite remarkable because it made a huge difference that what was going on, Sarbacher saying, well, wait a minute, Vannevar Bush controlled the UFO file. Now let's go back. Vannevar Bush is at MIT. Who is his protege? Well, one of the things we discovered was that the protege of Vannevar Bush was John G. Trump. So that being Trump's uncle, if he knows everything about the UFO file, what's the next piece of information there? That he sends him out to when Nikola Tesla dies, it is Vannevar Bush who suggests to the FBI and others that this should be the man who should go in and study all the Tesla work to see if he was developing what he had, the death ray and all the other exotic technology. One of the things that John Trump said specifically was that they asked him to look into the technology Tesla is working on to take flying objects down at a tremendous distance. So, for example, I'm sitting in the UK and something's flying over Italy. I press a button and it goes down. Now, that if you take that flying object and you just say unidentified flying object, then you might get into part of the seriousness of what was going on there. Vannevar Bush is a key in this, in understanding Trump's sort of deep knowledge around this. And, you know, whether you're a huge fan of Trump or you think he's, you know, Hitler, like MSNBC, this is a key factor of his own knowledge base. And it needs to be factored into all the dramatic resistance that we see in relation to him and his candidacy now for his second term. We've got John Trump, Donald Trump, and the Tesla connection. But what we're adding to all that is the UFO file through Vannevar Bush. That's crucial. So when we keep those things in mind, we're going in a particular direction with Trump that says he's got the knowledge of the exotic technology that makes him target number one as far as the deep state is concerned. And in fact, during his whole presidency, it was largely hampered by endless investigations by the deep state. So they have different ways of holding people up. And we know that in the case of John Kennedy, they had their own way of dealing with him there. So, you know, different strokes for different actors on this, but it's quite important. All right, that should get us on the Trump side. JFK, I mentioned JFK. Well, it's important when we're considering RFK Jr. getting into this race to look at what happened back there and those leaders that brought forward so much and gave us great idealism, but were also removed as a result of their activities on the public's behalf. Everyone, you're watching The Dark Journalist Show. We're going to take your questions shortly here. We're going to go about another half hour, I would say, for tonight's special report. Miss Olivia, how are you?
Good. Rehoboth Farm says, remember that on Inauguration Day, Trump said he was discussing, quote, high-flying assets, unquote, with Obama. And the Philip K. Dick Film Festival says, why doesn't Trump release the UFO file? Is it because he wants to keep something up his sleeve in case he needs it?
Well, he can't release it. You know, he's...
Well, he can tell what he knows.
He's under... no, I mean, that is, you know, a national security secret. So he can't be... He can't volunteer the information, you know, in an autonomous fashion. It has to be part of a government disclosure. So he had the ability when he was president to initiate that process, and he did not. But there were rumors inside, especially at the end, that between the JFK assassination files and the UFO files, that this is the where he was working. The other weird thing is that Glenn Greenwald talks about going to the White House to talk to him about a pardon of Snowden, and that the Assange pardon came up. So these things were in the air. And I believe that the function of the second phony impeachment was for those Republican senators to be able to go back and say to Trump, well, look, if you vote to release Assange, we'll vote against you and you will get impeached and you won't be able to run for a second term. And I think that there was a lot of hardball played against Trump at the end of his administration. You also see him as one of the busiest guys that you'll ever see during the end of his administration, which is unusual. You know, usually you're a lame duck. You've got 2 months and you get out. You plan your presidential library. Not Trump. He was firing people. He was installing people. He was reorganizing in the background different agencies. It's quite remarkable, in fact. And it's why this continuity of government piece has come up on a couple of occasions. What I want to always stress about continuity of government, and there's a little bit of confusion that I've seen in certain circles about this. Continuity of government is highly undesirable because it represents an emergency powers takeover, a fascist martial law takeover of America. The only reason that that would ever happen and why there was anything even built in like this originally through President Eisenhower was because we were facing a nuclear threat versus the Soviets at the time, and they built a massive underground infrastructure to survive a decapitation attempt against the government of the United States. So we look at it that way, you know, it's very different than the COG that we got later, which was just will take over if there's any emergency. And that's the way it was rewritten in the 80s. And it's something which we've done a number of shows on continuity of government. I always point people back to the original work of Professor Peter Dale Scott, in American Deep State, JFK in Deep Politics, and his successive books, you know, The Road to 9/11 and others, that give you the real understanding of what continuity of government is. Because when he was talking about it, there was just no reference to it anywhere. So he really put it on the map. And then when it got on the map, we have these other people who are well-informed but won't talk about the key players like Cheney and others. And I remember I pressed some of this during when there was there's a very famous writer at Newsweek named William Arkin. And Arkin, you know, he had a reputation for knowing a lot about COG, and he would put these things on the record. But when I went to Professor Scott about him, he said, oh yeah, he's incredibly well informed, but he won't, you know, connect the right dots on purpose. He just leaves a lot of things out. But still, you know, he said he knows a great deal. And so he was talking, he did this amazing article toward the end of 2020. And it was all about how all of these COG generals were ready to take over if Trump didn't relinquish, basically. And it was all in favor. And it was basically like, I thought I was reading treason in Newsweek. I couldn't believe it. So the unnamed source was a former NORTHCOM commander. And I knew the one that had just resigned and quit in August. I didn't know him personally. I knew who it was. And I was absolutely certain by the way that they were quoting the sources that their source for this story, the guy who was saying there were all these generals ready to take over America, which, by the way, is completely illegal. I said, well, it's Terence O'Shaughnessy, you know, and that, first of all, Newsweek blocked me, but then Arkin flipped out in a way. This is a guy who has a lot of professional composure and he was name calling. He just flipped. And so that gave me a lot about what was going on in the back there with COG. COG is incredibly compartmentalized. And so what happened was they, toward the end of Trump's administration, they started to decide, well, you know what, we can use COG to get rid of him if the election thing doesn't work out. I have no doubt that that was one of the cards that they played. And it's one of the reasons for the spate of firings that take place at the end of the Trump administration, including of his own defense secretary. That's a weird move. Let me give you a couple of interesting things about how COG works. Now, once in a while, a story about COG gets out there and it gets loose and they can't really explain themselves. How did this happen? You know, like, who is this group that we're talking about? So here's one. Where are the continuity of government vaccine doses coming from? No one wants to say. This is a story that came out toward the end of 2020. And that is Mike Pence there with one of those wonderful masks everyone had to wear, which didn't do anything. Where's the supply of COVID-19 vaccines coming from for senior officials across government? No one will say. Well, for you and me, we knew what they were. you know, it'd be a particular Moderna or something like that. But they wouldn't say where these guys were getting theirs. Days after the White House confirmed that senior officials would receive COVID-19 vaccines to help ensure continuity of government, it remains unclear from where those vaccine doses will originate. The District of Columbia Department of Health insists the vaccine doses will not come from their allocation. The local government in Washington has been working with neighboring jurisdictions to make sure residents of Maryland, working with Virginia, who are frontline healthcare workers within D.C., are able to get vaccines, but that doesn't appear to extend to federal officials. So they're like, where are you getting your vaccines from? And it's never answered. They're like, oh, it's coming through COG. And they're like, well, but wait, they're like, what's the function? So COG slips through once in a while. You read something where ordinary people who are doing journalism are like, wait a minute, you know, what is this thing? And very often they get shut down. It used to be that you couldn't even mention it. It came up in a congressional hearing in 1987, and the senator, Daniel Inouye, jumped up and said, stop, you know, stop that. You can't mention continuity of government. So COG is one of those things that went underground heavily in the 90s and came back with a major pow during 9/11. It was activated, and it's part of how we all live under the 9/11 emergency now. One of the things I think that Bobby Kennedy and President Trump should pledge to do upon taking the oath of office is eliminating the 9/11 emergency powers immediately, because that's how the deep state has really ramped up their efforts. And remember, sometimes this stuff gets overlooked by people who are in office. There was someone when President Nixon in the 70s was looking for emergency powers to be passed in relation to drugs. Someone found that there were emergency powers that were still in order, or still functioning from the Korean War, and that it covered certain types of shipments and things and keeping them undercover and all the rest. So somebody had been gaining all that time, 20 years in a vacuum, where these emergency powers had been put up there, but no one had ever stopped them. So when you get into secret systems of finance, secret systems of government, watch out. You're going deep. And speaking of COG, let's go to Mr. COG. And that is our friend, General Van Herk, who is the NORTHCOM commander. He's also in charge of NORAD, and he would be the combatant commander of the United States in the event that they press the COG button. Now, this guy being so front and center during the UFO shootdown stuff from February bothered me, because I know how these things operate, and they were laying a pattern there for us to pick up on. But in any case, one of the interesting things he puts across is Chinese balloon means NORAD now getting proper attention, Van Herk says. This is a weird thing for him to say. And then they came to him and they said, will you rule out, you know, you're going to rule out aliens for this? Because, you know, after all, you know, we know this was a Chinese balloon and those other things. And he said, I'm not ruling out anything. So there was a whole thing there going on with the person who asked the question. They were the ones who'd done the New York Times articles, the phony UFO Lou Elizondo story, Helene Cooper. That was one. Two, Van Herk, this was a setup question, and the way he answered it was set up because he knew if he answered this way that that headline would go all around the globe. And then 3 days later, they could say, hey, you know, they weren't UFOs, they weren't aliens, okay? But nonetheless, they wanted those headlines. They want to read, engage. They want to digitally mine our reaction. And so Van Herk was front and center. Not President Trump, not Defense Secretary Austin. Van Herk was taking on. And it was the first shootdown of any object over U.S. airspace by NORAD in 65 years of NORAD. So think about that, at least officially. We know in the background they've been going after these UFOs when they show up, because I can tell you one thing, not all of them are ours. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show deep, deep tonight here on the 2024 presidential election that we are moving into. And this is going to be one hell of a mega showdown. It involves the new candidacy that's just been announced by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. We call him Bobby Kennedy. And just the remarkable history of the Kennedy family around you know, this battle with the deep state and the intelligence agencies and the UFO file. All these things factor in. And then on the other side with President Trump, the same deal. And in the middle, they've got Stepford Biden there carrying out this radical agenda. So I guess you couldn't really say he was in the middle as in the center, but he's out of the three characters. He's in the presidency. And the question is, now it's a race to see who can really take power in 2024 and be sworn in January of 2025. And one thing I can tell you for certain from all my research is it cannot be the Democrat nominee because of the policies that they've been following. So now RFK would represent a huge change in that. And so either RFK or Trump would shake the system up in a way that we need it. So this is what we're in the middle of looking at. And it's going to get pretty crazy. Yes, what do you got over there?
McCurb. RFK Jr. Will never get the Democratic nomination because he's not a communist and the insiders do not want reform.
Well, I would agree with you. There's a few factors to consider here. I want to put these on the record. One, Bobby Kennedy is against the central bank digital currency, the CBDC, because he knows it's a centralized control system. He's on the record with that. Of course, Biden is trying to get us to accept FedNow, which is a CBDC starting in July, and they hope to centralize the currency. If they fail the banks, then they'll just be like, you have to go into this digital system, just like they try to force everyone to take the vaccine. So this is a very big, major piece that he's against here. And this, I think, is going to do him very well if he can articulate it on the stump, you know, of really going out there and giving the speeches about what it is and how corrosive an influence this would be. There is the Kennedy machine, which has been in place since the 1940s, remember, and has delivered many, many winning candidates. And let's not forget the long arm of the Kennedys in relation to this. Now, the opposition here is gigantic. So I understand what you're saying. And the DNC is so corrupt that perhaps even a Kennedy can't get it back. However, I think there is a possibility here because of the state of Biden's America and how I don't see that situation improving, even the optics of it, for example. So there's a few other things to consider. You know, Bobby Kennedy is very much against the abuses of the intelligence agencies. He's on the record saying that his uncle and his dad were assassinated by the intelligence agencies. So he knows better than any of us, having lived through it. So I think all these things are on his side. I think the fact that he's dealing with a corrupt DNC is his biggest challenge. And we're going to have to see how that goes. On the other side, you know, I would say that Trump has a lot of things going for him. Oh, the other thing is that, of course, Bobby Kennedy is for vaccine transparency, and he's against the corruption of the pharmaceutical companies and CDC and things like that. So you'd see a huge overhaul and reform. That's a word that you never hear anymore. Reform. Remember, we used to reform things. Reform the military, you know, reform this, reform that. Now it's just like, give them a billion. Here's another billion for you. Or here's a trillion. So.
Well, I think they found the power of creative destruction.
Yes. Right? Yes. Excellent point. The other thing I want to point out in relation to this is on Trump's side and the policies that he's involved with. Now, Trump was associated with Operation Warp Speed. We know this. They thrust this entire thing on him, in fact, and it was a confusion mechanism at first. And, you know, Trump was in a position there and did a lot of different moves. One of the things he was never in favor of were lockdowns or mandates. So that goes deeply to his credit. And he's gone on the record saying he would never support anything like that. And his leadership on it versus Stepford Biden's like night and day, you know, Stepford Biden really bringing in a kind of fascist routine around this now and not even getting all the things that, that they wanted. Now, Trump is very much in favor of America not being involved in foreign entanglements and wars. And I'm of the belief that the situation in Ukraine and Russia would never have happened. One, because he wasn't pressing to take over the way that that group is. Two, he was defunding NATO, which is probably an important discussion for this country to have. And also, you know, Trump, he's a builder, and he's all about, you know, with his real estate business background, he understands about building things. Destruction in his criticism before he even got in office of Bush's Iraq war policy, I think, for example, gives us some of that. So let's keep that in mind about him. These are things that go to his credit dramatically, along with the idea of securing the border, which right now has millions of you know, an influx of millions of people egressing from other countries and potentially terrorists and all kinds of things. So there's no process there. And, you know, Biden keeps playing politics with it. So we're in a disastrous situation, but that's good for the globalists because they want us to be overrun and they want us to lose our national identity because for them, America is just a zone. It's the North American zone. That's how they make money. They don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about nations. they're just, you know, they're ready for their AI overlords and how they're going to be the new gods and all that stuff. Well, when you read some of their papers, you can see this seeping through. But the only problem is they have about 7.5 billion people to deal with. So they need to convince everyone to lay down their arms, as it were, and allow them to do this. And this is why we have the power to change the situation and turn it around. But I think with Trump, you would get the reversal of Biden's policies. And I also think that Trump is much more aware of the deep state, especially since they've turned that mechanism on him. So you might see kind of less deep state types around him. Unfortunately, in the first term, people like Pompeo, et cetera, you know, I have that clip out there of Pompeo talking about JFK, and they're asking him, it's John Stossel, and saying, like, you know, why don't you just release these files? And he's like, well, you know, there could still be agents in the field that could be affected by this. 60 years later, you know, I'm sure they're either dead or they have a new identity by now. But, you know, most of them are just dead. And there couldn't, the idea that there would be an active agent, you know, at this stage is absurd. It's just the CIA's game. Now, the records themselves, I want to address this because I talk about these records and I'm not sure that people understand the impact of those records coming out, what it would show, because I believe that inside of the JFK records is a mechanism that Bobby Kennedy placed in there very early on. And that's why, you know, people have always said over the years, especially the more cynical research types, oh, there's nothing in those files. How could there be? The CIA would have rubbed it out a long time ago. I agreed. Until Judge Napolitano talked about a conversation that he had with President Trump about releasing the records. And also the general resistance of the CIA around releasing the records has been maybe even more secretive than they're used to being. So you would think, well, if they cooked those records already, why wouldn't they be out? This is a key question. So Napolitano, as we've pointed out on this show, came up with this conversational anecdote about his conversation with Trump about it. And interestingly enough, we did a number. This goes to that thing I was telling you about, which is information hops around a lot on the internet. But we did a number of shows about this and about Napolitano making this and trying to suss it out. And the wonderful thing is that he went out over and over again and started to discuss it. But here we have Napolitano, and it says, if you saw what I saw, you wouldn't release it either. Judge Napolitano on what President Trump said to him about releasing the JFK files. So he says, in one of our interviews, he said to me, don't forget, I'm going to release the JFK files. I said, I'm not going to forget it, Mr. President. On the contrary, I'm going to remind you. The last conversation we had was while he was in the White House, which is now about 2 weeks and 10 days before Joe Biden is being inaugurated. I reminded him of this. He said to me, yes, you're quite correct, Judge. I did say that, but if you saw what I saw, you couldn't release it either. And this goes on. There's a whole dialogue that they have. And at a certain point, Trump just stops him and says, Andrew, no one could release. You wouldn't believe what's in those records. So, and he makes a point of the fact that someone was probably listening into their call, so he's not going to tell him what it is. But whatever it is, then puts this in a different light. And for me, I think the idea that's hovering over this is that Kennedy was assassinated over the UFO file, which is something that, you know, I've spent a number of years pointing out the evidence for it. And we're all very clear that President Kennedy got into a fight with the deep state. We're all aware that the CIA, he was going to dismantle the CIA, and he was attempting to turn their illegal functions over to the Joint Chiefs, which makes a lot more sense. They were in a legal institution to start with, and he knew it. But what we learn about President Kennedy early on is that for all of his knowledge and for all of his travels, this is a guy who'd been everywhere from Leningrad to Lima, Peru. He'd been all over the world. He'd been to Vietnam before it was a problem area. And with all that knowledge, when he got into office, he could not believe the power that the CIA had. That's 1960. So We have to think of all the different things that have happened over 60 years and the amount of policy that they just take upon themselves in our name, the amount of control over the media, the amount of control over the entertainment industries, and now this huge thrust to make public a false version of the UFO file, so false disclosure, and they'll take that over too. So there's a lot of dangers that are like generational dangers over time. And so the same generational danger that Kennedy faced is passed down to us. It didn't go anywhere because in those battles, you know, our side didn't win. The disclosure side, the transparency side. And once in a while, you know, I'll see those documentaries where they have these liberals going on about all these things that they did in the 60s. And I keep thinking to myself, yeah, but no one ever talks about the fact that there was a civil war that played out between the deep state and the public state, and the deep state won. What about that? What about the leaders who were killed in that process? It makes an impact. It's a huge impact. And so the records, the story of that would be so huge in our psyche if we understand the real story. So that's why they're sitting on top of this story, even 60 years later. Well, Trump's piece of it becomes very important because we know that Trump was hunted down for these classified documents. What were the documents? Why are you going to raid Mar-a-Lago and go through Melania's clothing? I mean, think about this. It's not normal. The process wasn't normal. The thing that happened later with Biden and his classified documents wasn't normal. The Pence discoveries, they were all diversionary things away from this thing that had happened. But they started to flip out about Trump almost immediately when he was leaving office. And what's weird is the guy who was all over this and was on the record talking about how he thought Trump was Hitler and all this stuff, he was the guy who was running the National Archives. And I know this, some of these, because I was doing a number of things to get him to release information about this Nixon time capsule with Douglas Caddy and all the rest of it. And he was the guy that we wrote, David Ferrier. So this is the same person in charge of the National Archives who was giving Trump all this hell about his documents. And that's where those cases came from. Now, I say cases, you know, in a way, it almost sounds like it's something that came and went. No, those charges are still in the air. We now have a special prosecutor combining the J6 charges with this weird document thing and trying to make his own mishmash fantasy Frankenstein, just like the DA Bragg did. So something is afoot in the middle of all this, and we need to get a handle on it. And by going back through to the Kennedy era, believe it or not, that's where we can get some of the answers on this. Everyone, you're watching The Dark Journalist Show. Great to be here with you. This special report on a Saturday night. And we have the great news that Bobby Kennedy is announcing his run for president on April 19th. And then he'll make a number of subsequent appearances. But this changes the ballgame dramatically. And so we're going to get into that. We'll take some of your questions and then we'll wrap all this up in about 20 minutes. But I have this Kennedy section, and then Miss Olivia, how are you doing?
Doing great. So Alan Fishbeck wants to know, how would you explain the alien ET involvement in the assassination of a president? Obviously, this is a viewer who doesn't know the alien presence story.
Yeah. I've got a picture of Doug Caddy here somewhere. Look, on its face, there's a few fundamental details. One, 10 days before he was assassinated, President Kennedy asked the CIA director for all the files dealing with the high threat cases of the UFO file. That's a memo that came out through a FOIA request all the way back in 2010. Now, subsequently, there have been rumors that President Kennedy had been briefed on the subject and had a deep interest. You know, he evinced this deep interest in the UFO file. That goes back to his relationship with Forrestal, because they were both Catholic and they were best friends. And Forrestal took him to post-war Berlin when he was a journalist. After all, he wasn't even a political figure. And he wrote very interestingly about how, you know, everyone there didn't think Hitler was dead at all. So he had a lot of interesting things he was writing about. But one thing that's important to remember about Kennedy is that early connection and early knowledge about the UFO file. It's unmistakable if you follow it correctly. So when he gets into office, then he gets the talk from Eisenhower. This is what you're dealing with. You know, they've run away with the UFO file. I don't know how to get it back under presidential control. And so by the time, you know, he is in his third year of office, he's devised all these different means for getting this back under his control. By the time he writes the memo on November 12th, then this comes up. Now, in conjunction with it, and these are records you can find at the JFK Library, is the request for cooperation with the Russians in outer space affairs. That is also November 12th. And that's a very important memo because it connects the two. Then there's the whole testimony of Sergei, Khrushchev's son, who said, well, actually, you know, they were working behind the scenes for a joint moon mission. We find evidence for this, that there was not going to be a space race and that they were going to go to the moon together and all the rest. This was the intolerable piece. And it's why when you get into the investigation of President Kennedy's assassination, you find yourself face to face over and over again with NASA and the UFO file, which any good investigator, you know, like Jim Garrison, found himself facing that over and over again. And he was like, where is this coming from? Why is Oswald saying he's working for NASA? You know, why is Oswald working for Guy Bannister, who started the X-Files for UFOs for the FBI? I mean, there's UFO trails all over the assassination. Why? So, you know, you're going to find people who are Oswald impersonators later years. They did that stuff in the 60s for the CIA. In later years, you find them trying to use the whole UFO piece and, you know, alternative energy and UFOs. Like, they show up in the strangest ways, but there's this thing operating behind the scenes, and it's very difficult for us to get a handle on. But when you go back and understand this, you know, commentary by the Watergate lawyer, which is a high-ranking historical figure to say this, and he said it on my program, but he said, you know, his friend, and it's confirmed best friend, was E. Howard Hunt, who was the CIA super spy who got caught in the Watergate burglary and sent to prison. But before that, he had a remarkable CIA career. So in private, to his friend, not a CIA propaganda point, but in private, he said to him, you know, Kennedy said, well, tell me before you go to prison, why was Kennedy assassinated? And E. Howard Hunt said, John Kennedy was killed because he was going to share our most vital secret with the Soviet Union. And so Kennedy was shocked by that. He said, well, what was the secret? And Hunt told him it was the UFO file, it's the alien presence. So this is sitting there. It's hanging out there. It's a historical figure, the Watergate lawyer, the first lawyer for the Watergate 7, Douglas Kennedy. And, you know, he's in, you know, what is the movie about the presidents again? The two reporters, All the President's Men. And his character's in it. Douglas Kennedy is actually the lawyer that they walk up to and they say, who are you? So, you know, Kennedy's a historical figure and he's gone on the record with this. The UFO community at that time, instead of seizing on this, really trying to understand the impact of the idea that Kennedy was assassinated by the CIA over the UFO file and having a historical figure to work with, they went and they ran overboard and were like, hey, all these CIA people want to give us disclosure. So that's how the field got destroyed. And you had participants in that destruction who were UFO researchers. And some of the people who were good before became very bad as soon as the TTSA came on the scene. Suddenly all their, you know, kind of smarts and credentials went out the window. I don't know what happened to them, but I dealt with them and that. And my own impression was this group came on strong and said, you'll be in on it. You'll be in on the secret. You'll be a fly on the wall with the whole thing. And that these people who were, you know, doing UFO research threw their ethics out the window, because the same ethics that brought them into the field was, oh, the government's hiding this UFO thing. And I need to, you know, basically, I need to expose it and get that government to let that information out. Were the same ones who took the CIA's word that they were going to get disclosure from them. By the way, it's 5 years later, and the only thing they got was, you know, Lou Elizondo and Gary Nolan and all this CIA counter intel junk, which all those stories were junk, you know. So they didn't get it, and now they just kind of want to roll along and pretend that it never happened. But still promoting this idea that somehow the CIA is going to give you these answers. And the weird thing that we find in the middle of our research is that the Central Intelligence Agency, as in its apparatus of the deep state, is the biggest block to any of this knowledge. That's the thing that needs to be understood. So another thing on Kennedy. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Special Report. Great to be with you here on this kind of flash forward on the 2024 presidential election, with President Trump all but assured on the Republican side, even in the middle of all these insane prosecutions, and very unusual for them to step out the way that they are. Obviously, Trump represents a mighty threat to them, regardless of the reason. And then the exciting announcement of RFK Jr. coming into this race, and with all his knowledge of political malfeasance and the corruption of the pharmaceutical thing, and his wonderful book, which The Real Anthony Fauci, which gives us a real background on this ultra deep state pharmaceutical character. Okay. A couple of things here on President Kennedy, then we'll take some questions, then we're out.
Okay.
How's that, Crappy? How you doing out there?
Great. I would love to throw you this question. Najat Madri, who do you think has a deeper understanding of the UFO file, Trump or RFK Jr.? And who does the deep state, who also has a greater understanding of the deep state, Trump or RFK Jr.?
Well, Trump's been president, so I think that it gives him a great deal of understanding about these things. And I think through his uncle, he got, it's not about who has more knowledge, really. It's more about they have different angles on it. And, you know, I don't think somebody, see, someone like Bobby Kennedy, he is moving forward with this idea of transparency in government, and UFOs would be one of the things. It's going to come up, the disclosure aspect. You're either going to get false disclosure or the real thing. And, you know, the only way the real thing is going to happen is through us, right? But the false disclosure thing, you're going to get one or the other. So I would root for the real thing. And I would say that they both have levels of knowledge that are striking, because Kennedy's knowledge of the CIA and the deep state through his family is dramatic. Trump living through it and having the knowledge about the exotic technology going in, they both are on a level where the deep state would see them as a dramatic threat. So in terms of their threat level to the deep state, they both are a 10. Let's go back to another 10 who did a lot of good things for this world. And that was Senator Kennedy. And Senator Kennedy became President Kennedy by winning that New Hampshire primary and going on to win the nomination and then to beat Richard Nixon in one of the tightest elections ever held in America. Kennedy's message was about freedom and was about, you know, lifting people up and not leaving people behind and things of this nature. And also that we shouldn't force on the world the Pax Americana of American weapons of war. This was anathema to the deep state, and I think they tolerated him about as long as they could. But the UFO file, I think, was the ultimate piece, because once he got himself involved with that, he knew a great deal about it. But once he was directing policy, saying we need to, you know, share this information with the Russians, and they were like, oh, is this guy going to be a disclosure president? Is that what we're looking at here? And this is our ultimate secret. He wants to share it with them. The same group that was working on the technology is the group we brought over from Germany, the Paperclip group, and their ultimate arch enemy was the Russians. So, you know, the Russians had just lost 25 million people, citizens, fighting them. And so there was this feeling inside that NASA group, which is actually if you find out, it's called DISC, the Defense and Industrial Security Command, something we brought forward on this program before. That group, which had the advanced technology, the X-Protect group, the one thing they didn't want to hear is we're going to share this with the Russians and go to the moon with them. So when Kennedy meets with Khrushchev and he says, "Why, you know, I don't want anyone here except the interpreter," then that's one of those big flip outs that happens in the State Department and CIA. And they're like, we have to keep our eyes on him. This would happen later when our friend Reagan wanted to do the same thing with Gorbachev. And in fact, when he gets him alone, he turns around in Reykjavik and says to him, you know, if there's an alien invasion, will you fight with us? You know, on our side, we'll fight this thing together. And Gorbachev lets the secret out in 2014, but it's remarkable. And it's historic, and it's on the record. It's, you know, it's filmed. There were tons of witnesses. It's not just somebody's theory. And I've played the clip on many a documentary. But one of the things that tells us is, by the next time that happens with Trump and Putin, then you're also in an unusual situation. And he also says, "Oh, I don't want any interpreter." And so everyone in the media freaks out. They're like, "Oh, he's colluding with Putin or whatever." It's that those intelligence agencies don't want those two leaders together to talk about the UFO file. This is the problem, because that's the thing that they're controlling in the background. And it is huge. It is every bit as big. It's probably bigger than how I'm describing it. In fact, it's such a controlling aspect of everything that's happening going forward, because it represents a knowledge that departs from the public's knowledge on such a level and such an advantage, technologically and otherwise, that, you know, you're talking about, this is where the real internecine battles are taking place. And we have Trump back there in the middle of all this. And, you know, I mentioned earlier, he had the relationship with the Kennedys. And the Kennedys, their battle with the Central Intelligence Agencies, you know, it spread out to so many different sectors. But one of the things that President Kennedy did was fire Alan Dulles. And this was kind of the biggest no-no of all, because Dulles was the titular figurehead of that group that had taken over the CIA, the Office of Policy Coordination. So the OPC was that was the group that wanted to overthrow governments and run the drug trade and all this kind of stuff. The regular CIA, as much as that was an illegal entity too, was different. It was more pencil pusher kind of thing, and it was a circulating of intelligence. Once those two things merged, forget it. So these guys were on their own. You know, they were working with business interests, and they were just telling the presidents what they wanted to hear. So when it comes to the UFO file, you're talking about a whole different track of technology. And that represents too much of a threat for us to share with the country. And so in the background, unbeknownst to anybody, you know, we come up with this whole thing about magic bullets and Oswald and all of this. It's a terrible tragedy for the country. Looking back on it, it looks like a comic book, the way that they described it. And so the official story is complete junk. But why? Why did they kill these leaders? Why did they kill Robert Kennedy? And why did they kill John Kennedy? Well, President Kennedy was killed because he wanted to change things. And one of the things that was crucial in the middle of all that is he wanted to share the UFO file. That has to be brought in, or we never are going to get to the bottom of it. People can talk about the Federal Reserve forever, you know, and I think it is a factor, but it's not, you know. Kennedy wasn't eliminated over the Federal Reserve. It's a combination of things, but the UFO file is that piece that is undeniable. The other thing is that right by his side was Robert Kennedy as Attorney General. Well, he knows everything the brother knows. And by the time Kennedy is assassinated, Robert Kennedy he doesn't go on as Attorney General. He actually becomes a senator from New York and resigns as Attorney General because he realized that LBJ was involved with all this. So this is a crucial backdrop. And, you know, it's giving us that background about Robert Kennedy. When he is running, and I'll refer you to the documentary I did called X Protect, the Aerospace UFO File Assassins. that has the outline of the Howard Hughes technology wing involvement in his assassination and how they wanted Nixon in by far more than they did Kennedy. But the Central Intelligence Agency was involved directly in the action of the assassination. And there, remember, when we deal with that X-Protect unit, we're dealing with a group that is directly tied into the intelligence agencies. That's the way to think about it. And the legacy then of President Kennedy was one of freedom. He backed us out of nuclear war. He saved the world by not taking the bait of the military-industrial complex. And here we have this kind of piece that's hanging out there, which is the unanswered questions. Well, the Central Intelligence Agency killed John Kennedy. And there we have the block on the record 60 years later. It does, it holds back the development of the country as a whole. And it is a factor, and it will be a factor in the 2024 election, especially if his nephew and Robert Kennedy's son is running for president. You better believe that's shaking things up dramatically and taking on some of the kind of new monster projects that the deep state is operating through the pharmaceutical companies, for example. And remember that, Kennedy was naval intelligence. He knew a great deal. He knew a great deal going in, and he took a lot of that knowledge and parlayed it into a dramatically effective Senate career and just a remarkable presidency, which didn't even last 3 years because they got trigger happy at that point. But to think of the threat that Kennedy represented to them, that they would still hide the records some 60 years later, think about the level of that. They never want this information to come out. When we get to Trump, we're looking at another piece that they're afraid of. And so in that sense, they have that in common. And so, when you look at somebody like Bobby Kennedy Jr. entering this race, it's a historic shakeup. It's an earthquake in the middle of all this. So here they are in the middle, going crazy, trying to get Trump and install some version of Stepford Biden for 2024. And here comes Bobby Kennedy and the legacy that, he brings with him. And think about the impact of that. That's deep, everyone. And with that, Miss Olivia, you're up.
Okay, Jeff Fletcher, what document was recently released that tied the CIA to Kennedy's killing?
There wasn't any.
Okay. Well, that answers that.
This was a weird thing. I've mentioned this before, which is the media went bonkers. The idea was that the Mary Farrell Foundation decided to sue President Biden for the records that they were keeping. And I have a few different things here about the JFK records that are important. This was the original thing that happened, which is Biden delays release of JFK assassination records. And he said, it's the pandemic. Can't let those records out. And they let out these very scant records that didn't really represent anything. So what happened was the records became this football because, remember, by law, they're supposed to be released October 26, 2017. And, that's 25 years after the law was written. It's a law. So it's something they need to obey by law. So they were able to, at that time, when President Trump was in office, they came into his office in the morning and said, you can't release this. And, we have too many assets, CIA assets. And they gave him other reasons. Now, Trump did release some very interesting records. We found out that the mayor of Dallas, who was the brother of the deputy secretary of the CIA, was a CIA agent himself. That wasn't known before. So there were things that came out, I think, that framed this properly. But still, Trump didn't let the whole thing out either. And there were rumors that at the end of his administration, he was going to. But then there was that conversation that he had with Napolitano. Now we understand, okay, there's something in there that he couldn't release. So the records hold some dramatic secret. And for my money, there's a booby trap in there that if they try to eliminate it or rub it out, somehow it sets off these bells that Attorney General Kennedy set up a long time ago. because there's something about those records. Otherwise, they would release them and just doctor them, you know, but they can't. That's weird. So, you know, right after the assassination, there were a number of unusual meetings that took place with Attorney General Bobby Kennedy. And for me, that's what did it. But again, Bobby Kennedy in his campaign in 1960 was the voice of the people and lifting people up. And he was carrying on the legacy of President Kennedy. And he knew that we needed to get out of the Vietnam War. And he knew that the deep state had taken this machine and was dividing all the groups in America, white, black, rich, poor, young, old, you know, the whole thing. And so he was like, I'm going to take this all back. If you go back to that election, he entered it late, just like John Kennedy entered in January of 1960, and he won in November. But Bobby Kennedy waits. He's not in the race for a long time. He could have announced in 67 or whatever, but it takes that failure of LBJ in the New Hampshire primary, and then he jumps in, and it's March. That's late. And he puts together on the fly a group, and he starts winning, and he starts winning. And then they're like, the crucial contest is California. If he wins there, he's going to go on to Chicago and become the nominee. And everyone was wondering, can he do it? Can he pull it off? And he went out there and did the incredible five-day campaigning to make this happen. And it's an incredible week of American history where he goes in there in that last week and somehow turns all the polls around and wins. And so he was on his way to winning. And the thing was, the deep state was going to face off against him and the legacy of their murder of John Kennedy. So there's a lot of things operative in that 68 election. LBJ stepping down, you know, before all this happens, the assassination of MLK, who was helping Bobby. And then 2 months later, Bobby's assassination. It's an incredible turn. And then to end up through all that with the presidency of Richard Nixon is is pretty incredible. But now we see ourselves kind of standing on the shoulders of that earlier election as we go into 2024. No question. Yes.
Frank, when was the last time a candidate took the nomination from a standing president in the same party? What are the real odds Kennedy can do this?
Well, I think that, you know, the major challenge that took place in Jimmy Carter facing off against Ted Kennedy was pretty major. He came very close to doing it. If you go back to Teddy Roosevelt and you have him running this Bull Moose independent party against Wilson and Taft, he almost does it. You know, as an independent, Ross Perot almost does it, you know. So there's a lot of almost, but inside the same party, you don't see it. And the odds of him doing it, well, you have an incredibly weak candidate in Biden, probably one of the worst ever, I would say. There's an incredible challenge that Reagan gives to Ford in 1976, and everybody wants Reagan. But Ford uses the institutional powers of the presidency to barely hang on. And that's good because 1980 was a much better turn of time for Reagan. You know, his conservative style policies, that was the era for that, after all the liberal spending and, you know, weakness around the world and Iranian hostages and all that kind of stuff. So these timing things kind of have a tendency to work themselves out. But I would say, yeah, I mean, it's a long shot for it to happen. However, Biden's candidacy, you know, the presidency is illegitimate to start with. So that's for starters. Second, he's an 81-year-old man who can't form a sentence. And everyone on the world stage knows that. Why should we lie to ourselves? He's mentally incapacitated. There's a committee running it. That's different. You know, interrupting the Trump two-term thing with this weird Biden presidency was a weird move anyway. So it seems to me everything's up in the air now. You know, if they could do that and they could also run Biden without him campaigning, remember that? He's hanging out in his basement like, hey. And they kept him away from any reporters and all that. And then they rolled him out with these drugs for the debates, but they had to have Chris Wallace as the debate person helping him So, you know, the whole structure around the way that Biden was able to do it the first time, he couldn't do it that way again. You don't have the COVID emergency. You could have another different type of emergency, but you would need the COVID emergency. You would need, you know, the whole kind of situation, the way that it was. And interestingly enough, with Biden, his economy continues to tank. It does not grow. His foreign policy is a disaster. As he gets us closer to World War III. We just got Finland and NATO. Wasn't that the nature of the problem of why we had the invasion of Russia into Ukraine in the first place? Where's the peace process? So none of that stuff, you know, people are really sick. And once the banks started to fail, you know, Biden is hovering around 38% in Democrat polls. So he's not a candidate who's poised to win, which means the Republican candidate could very easily take him out, which makes a case for the Democrats to replace him, which there is a movement in there to replace him. So I would say that you're right. You know, it's not on the record that someone inside the same party has been able to take someone else out. But also, we've never had an 81-year-old president who was, you know, suffering from some level of dementia. So, and, you know, these are very unusual circumstances, let's face it. So in this wild card environment, yes, I do think it's possible. Yes.
Walter BJ, RFK Jr.'s supporters are mostly from the right. How is he ever going to win the left with barely any support? Name alone is not going to take him far. And Neva Moore says, does DJ think Bobby would have Kennedy family support?
Well, you're absolutely right. Kennedy has more support on the right, oddly enough. But his policies really, you know, fit in with a traditional centrist Democrat. And like I said, you know, that family is the traditional Democrat family. You couldn't expect them to suddenly flip over and say, hey, he's going to run on a Republican ticket or something. It'll never happen because they're the Kennedys. You know, they are the Democrat dynasty. But they're the real Democrats, and that's very different from the things that we've been seeing. And
there are traditional Democrats who have been completely disenfranchised and don't know how to vote. And
absolutely,
everybody talks about that.
No question,
because the progressives, it's just gone too far left.
The independent vote is going to be the most important thing in the next election. So those people and where they go with it is going to be the crucial deciding factor. But I agree with you that right now, the thing, in other words, Kennedy actually looks better for a general election than he does for winning the Democratic primary. But there's a lot of weakness in that Democratic primary. And if he can win with the New Hampshire strategy of showing people that he's winning and then them kind of remembering and coming back on board with the important policies, he's going to have to do it. He's going to have to convince people that this can happen. And he's going to have the support of the people. I can tell you this, though. We need somebody with that level of courage and integrity in office. So it would be very worthwhile to work overtime to see to it that it happens.
I've got to ask you this question.
Yes.
Adelax, DJ, why don't you think the 2024 election won't be rigged?
Yeah, well, look, I think that it was very easy for a lot of chicanery to enter into the process last time. I think that there's a whole thing about elections and, you know, how they are changed, stolen, and all the rest. And it's been going on for a long time. Bush Gore is like that, too. You know, when you go back to the FDR elections and stuff, there's been things going on in relation to elections for a long time. It's just that in 2020, it was so excessive because, you know, one of the things you must consider is if what Biden did in 2020 was for real, then everybody just wouldn't campaign because he didn't campaign. And Trump, you know, went out and did the traditional campaigning. He did stadiums, you know, you had crowds. And as far as the eye could see, that's the way you traditionally win and run a campaign. So if that doesn't matter, then it would change the whole way that we did campaigns and everything else. So there's some kind of level of absurdity. The fact that they made COVID the wild card in all of it, I do think made things, the atmosphere, crazy immediately. And there are so many different aspects, but they can't do the type of thing they did in 2020 again. There's a big risk to doing it again, because a lot of things came out about that process and the companies and all the rest. So I don't think you'd be able to see that level of it in 2024. Therefore, if the numbers go against them, it'll be like 2016 again. You know, they can cut it close, but they'll lose. So that danger is there. That's why they're freaking out to this level, because they cannot, to fulfill their plans, have a 4 or 8 year interruption. Now, remember, Trump, if he gets in, can only get 4 more years, because he's already had 4, and they have that statute, constitutional amendment, says you can only run 8 years. So that's important too. And who he has as a VP, I think, will be important. And I think that either candidate will probably have a woman on the ticket. Yes.
Brad Briggs, does DJ believe that RFK Jr. has sufficient personal security to protect his life and the lives of his family?
I have no idea, but I think they have a great history of it. And if anything, you know, the thing, his sort of revolt against the pharmaceutical companies. You ever read some of those stories about people who've done that in the past? I mean, there's a huge security issue there. So I'm sure he's used to dealing with security a lot. Yeah, I mean, he'd have to get by on heavy security and a lot of wing and a prayer. So
it's a very clumsy way to take out a candidate. I mean, especially nowadays, you don't have to. They have other means.
Yeah, I would say that that's really true. The other thing is that when you go to make the decision about having this impact, making this kind of an effort to change things, then I think once you make the decision, then, you know, you're just moving towards accomplishing your goal. And so, you know, there are obstacles, and you deal with the obstacles. Yes. But okay. Wow. Yeah. I mean, of course it's a concern. Yeah.
Janine, any speculation about a Joe and Hillary ticket? She would slide right in as Joe fades away and Rehoboth Farm. what about Hillary Clinton and the JFK Jr. death connection? Could RFK Jr. have info about that?
Oh, look, you know, I don't know, but you know, Bobby's a lawyer. So I think he understands a great deal about some of the things that were going on around that situation. And certainly he would have known if his cousin was going to run for Senate. So, you know, my guess is that anyone who takes a real look at the JFK Jr. plane crash knows that there was something very strange about it. He was at least on their target level because of the things that he was doing with George Magazine, including looking into his dad's murder. So, you know, whatever it was that happened, and for my money, that's too convenient. But if you look at people who've investigated the actual plane crash, there's a lot of very, very unusual things that took place there that just don't add up for the official story. So, as far as I can tell, JFK Jr.'s death is part of this pattern of removing Kennedys. And that pattern may go all the way back to Joe in, you know, during World War II, taking that mission on and his plane exploding, the older brother of Jack. You know, they've talked about the Kennedy curse and everything else, but I think what we're talking about really is a family that's targeted way back, even before the major moves into political office. And one thing I can say that Bobby has put on the record in his own biography about Kennedy family life is that the battle with the deep state started in earnest when Joe went on these committees, his father, Jack's father, Joseph Kennedy, when he went on these committees and he argued for the limitations around the intelligence agencies. He already saw that they were getting out of hand. That's early on. I think that that occurs in the late 40s. So early on, he's somebody who realizes this isn't good. You know, so that instantly, you know, they already, those forces were opposed to the Kennedy. They probably didn't even realize the level of opposition that they were going to mount against them in the beginning. But the Kennedys became a gigantic threat. And they continue, the legacy continues to be a huge threat. And certainly Bobby Jr. is someone who has done tremendous damage to their plans around the pharmaceutical takeover by being really an incredible hero on that. So I would think immediately that they're like, you know, look at all the information and all the stories there are and rumors and everything else to try to take him out before he even announces. I mean, they're afraid of this guy. And it's interesting. It is all the liberal hit piece media. They're the ones who are going after him. He's supposed to be a liberal Democrat. What does that tell you? Who are they trying to tie him to? Trump's guy, Bannon. This group, you know, that is controlling things, they don't want either on the right or the left any opposition to what they're doing. And so they will go after opponents on the right or the left. They have no, you know, loyalty to either side. If you're against them, they'll take you out. There's an interesting point around this, which is Kristen Sinema. Because when Kristen Sinema got in as a Democratic senator in Arizona, they, you know, literally were showering her. They were like, she's the first bisexual senator. And they were just going crazy with all this. And then she was like, you know what? The Democrats are like out of there. I'm an independent because they're going way too away for me. And the person that they sent to try to challenge her for her seat is Ruben Gallego. And let me tell you, I've done shows about him. He's the guy who was the congressman in, I have his stuff here, but Gallego is very interesting because he's right in the middle of all this UFO piece. He's the one who's working with Rubio and Gillibrand to get this funding for the UFO DOE, the UFO Defense Office. And let me see if I have this. As always, there's so much UFO stuff that I don't get to. Yeah, this guy. I've done many show featuring him. Our friend, Ruben Gallego. And he's welcome to come on this program. Here's a few things I'd like him to explain. One, when he was over here at Harvard, he studied psychological operations for crowd control. That's kind of a weird thing. Suddenly he's a big man on the UFO front. So that's a little bit strange. Two, this whole thing about his aggressive, and I mean aggressive comments about the opposition, and, you know, his almost like violent demeanor. I think he sounds like somebody who's a very unhinged person. This is Sinema, and she's the one who's like, you know what? I'm not putting up with the Democrats. I'm going to, you know, I'm kind of a Democrat at heart, but I'm an independent now. So now all those liberal magazines and websites are all going after her. Like, oh, that's Sinema. Forget it. She might as well be, you know, Trump in drag. And they send this guy to take her seat. This is the guy who's wrapping up all of these things with our friends Gillibrand and Rubio. So these people get together. By the way, there's Jake Tapper who said, quack, Robert Kennedy announces for president. Quack? What kind of a professional newsman are you? And here you are celebrating the UFO Defense Office with Rubio and Gillibrand. I mean, it's really weird. But let's get this on the record. Rubio, Gillibrand, and Gallego applaud inclusion of unidentified aerial phenomena amendment in National Defense Bill. That's the same guy that they're sending after Sinema's seat. So this is very disturbing. And this guy needs a lot of investigative scrutiny in a professional manner. But, you know, and like I've said before, investigative journalism is adversarial journalism. It's the nature of the beast if you're trying to unmask somebody and what they're doing. And it's not personal. It can't be. It never should be. But You know, I've always used this CEO example that, you know, if somebody's dumping nuclear waste, you know, the reporter likely isn't going to like play golf with them. I mean, you're going to want to reveal the fact of what they're doing. So in this case, Gallego has a weird background, in my opinion, and his demeanor has been really weird. And, you know, they've kind of dressed him up also, along with the fact that his ex-wife was the mayor of Phoenix, where they had the Phoenix Lights and everything like that. I don't know. Something very strange is going on there, but I don't want Gallego running the UFO file as a senator. That's for damn sure, because it smells just like total CIA operation. But just to put this on the record, U.S. Senators Marco Rubio, a Republican from Florida, Kirsten Gillibrand, a Democrat from New York, who we know is tied up with all these aerospace interests, along with Congressman Ruben Gallego, Democrat, Arizona, applauded. Remember, he's a congressman, though. They're senators, so this is already weird. They know he's going to be a senator. See, they're taking him into the fold. Why are they dealing with a senator on this? Why are they dealing with a congressman when they're senators? They applauded the inclusion of their unidentified aerial phenomena UAP amendment into fiscal year 2022 National Defense Authorization Act. So the National Defense Authorization Act, I've pointed this out before, $1 trillion for military contractors. And it has to be signed off on by the president. What they did in the back rooms is Gallego and Gillibrand and Rubio, because they're on the Senate Intelligence Committees, tied the UFO DOE office to NDAA and said, if you don't pass UFO DOE, no NDAA. Everyone hangs around waiting for their $1 trillion. So that's how they snuck it in the back door. So there's a lot of heavy-duty sneakiness in relation to what's going on with this, but these people are on the ballot for 2024. And if they want to explain themselves and what they're doing with it, then great. But Gallego and his grasp after cinema, you know, shows you just how fast this left-wing thing can turn on a candidate. And in this case, they're turning on cinema. Yes.
Rehoboth Farm, the, quote, the presidency, for that matter, the federal government shouldn't have that much bearing on our lives. Unfortunately, that isn't the case. In Scarlet Fire, quoting Patrick Henry, the Constitution is not an instrument for the government to restrain the people. It is an instrument for the people to restrain the government.
Oh, wow. That's really true. Well, think about it. The Constitution is kind of on the ballot in 2024. Who best represents the Constitution? Does somebody who wants to bring you the central banking digital currency and put you in a kind of a digital slave camp with your money, do they represent the Constitution? You know, you're going to have to ask yourself that question when you get in there, Democrat, Republican, Independent, Green Party, whatever. You know, who represents the Constitution? Constitution is the law of the land. Everyone from judges to policemen to politicians swear to it. They swear to uphold it. So they're sworn to it. And the Constitution says, hey, number one, free speech. Number two, right of assembly. You know, these are all the things that they violated during the pandemic. And, you know, it's the emergency powers that give them the ability to do that. Well, let me tell you, UFO threat's a pretty big emergency power. And it wouldn't be that hard to pull off, especially not now with the technology they have. That's what's really at the core of this thing with 2024. Look closely. That's really what we're looking at. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Special Report. Incredible to have so many of you here with us tonight. Just a fantastic show. We'll take a couple more questions and then leave you for your weekend. But it's been great sharing this time with you on Saturday night. I want to remind you to visit thedarkjournalist.com website and sign up for our newsletter, which is a free newsletter, but it keeps us in touch through this incredible, just unbelievable off the chart censorship that we've been seeing. And, you know, especially if you're new, make sure that you have that, because if you don't, you might not get a lot of the announcements and things. We're going to have some very exciting announcements for you here over the next few weeks as well. And along with some incredible, and I do mean incredible, interviews coming up for you, and just great things all there planned for you. Yes, Miss Olivia.
Dixie 504, thoughts on RFK's speech issue. Will it hurt his campaign?
I don't think so. I mean, look, you know, right now we have stumbling Stepford Biden, who can't even, he doesn't even know where he is, right? He's like, it's great to be here in Greece. And he's in Ukraine. So he doesn't even know where he is. Kennedy is incredibly articulate and just incredibly smart. And I think he's addressed this about his own voice. But this is actually a vaccine-related injury. So it's interesting in that sense. It's a kind of a constant reminder of what he has had to go through. But
also, I'd like to say that when, even though at first it takes some getting used to, it makes me listen closer to him.
Interesting. You know, noticed that he gives excellent speeches. And, you know, I think like everything, when you're dealing with a political campaign, there are all kinds of factors. But I guess my answer would be no. I don't think it will be any kind of a hindrance in the grand scheme of things. It's a very, it's something, you know, I think the dynamism that he shows and brings across, that if the people who are working with him and supporters and things can be his voice as well. Yes.
J. McMurphy 321. We need a cyber prayer circle for RFK Jr.
I think it's true. I think it's true. I think both RFK Jr. and Trump need our support. This is interesting because both of them on different sides, both trying to remove the corrupt regime and may the best man win, but both of them are on the right side. And I do feel that there's something about Bobby Jr. coming in the way that he is and after having really had this remarkable career as an environmental lawyer and kind of a defender of public freedom, that's kind of what's been missing is the real Democrats. It's, you know, we've had the real Republicans have fought with the phony establishment Republicans, but the Democrats are just missing in action. They've been taking over and there's too much influence of the Chinese Communist Party in the Democrat Party at this point. So, you know, they've become a captured party, as have the establishment Republicans as well. So it goes both ways, but nonetheless, I think, you know, they're in the most insane shape of all. And there's no constituency for the Constitution. And, you know, that's a really big problem because America is based on the Constitution. Yes.
You've left him out of this conversation. Aragami Sensei wants to know, DeSantis?
Well, I only mentioned him once to show that Trump was beating him by 26 points in the polls, but now he's beating him by 32. So DeSantis made a mistake. You see, Trump can't run for another term after this. He's got one term. It's one shot. He's amassed these massive followers, and his poll numbers are good enough to give him a really good shot at winning the presidency. So to step in on that and say, I'm 44 years old and I'm going to be president with these dynamics going on. It's not like there's a void to fill and, you know, you need to be there because they don't have anybody, but you're inserting yourself. Then in the background, see, this is an interesting thing because I think that DeSantis has done extraordinary things in Florida, and I applaud him for that. But this is not the election 2024 for him. And I think that it's, you know, if anything, he should figure out how he can support the Republican nominee, because the Bush machine that's trying to promote DeSantis is also a problem. And I would say DeSantis needs to know how to sever that group from his own aspirations. But, you know, this is a guy in his 40s, plenty of time to run after Trump either wins big and has one big term and then he could be the follow-up, or, you know, if Trump didn't make it, then he'd be like, hey, I was right. You know, I'm the guy. So if anything, waiting is the perfect thing for DeSantis. And there's, you know, I don't know, what is the time bomb going on in this guy's head? I mean, why, you know, if you're doing the job and people are giving you thumbs up. I mean, it's the nature of politics. They all want to go higher and all the rest, but really think this one through. Trump has the following. That's his group. You know, he has this incredible lead. The only thing that'll keep him out, and it probably wouldn't even, is if they literally, you know, try to go through these cases and have him arrested. I've found through these points, though, that you can actually, you know, and I've made the point that Lyndon LaRouche ran for president in 1992 from jail. So even that wouldn't necessarily stop him. So, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of different things there, like the stigma of the whole thing. And, you know, if DeSantis could keep himself out there, it's like, you know, I'm here if you need me. But I think to take on Trump directly is a foolish mistake, especially since, you know, this guy in his 40s is going to have decades of being able to run for president. Yes.
Jay Vandervest, the deep state is far more powerful than it was 8 years ago. If you could not beat them then, how are you going to convince me you will, quote, next time?
Well, it was an extraordinary upset in 2016. I remember those elections before that. You'd have the two guys get together and they'd be like, I'm going to lower those Medicaid premiums. I'm like, no, you're going to increase those Medicare premiums. And all these ridiculous conversations about nothing. And then when Trump came along, he changed the whole dynamic of the conversation. And he did shake things up. He wasn't perfect by a long shot, but he brought in some real America ideas, which hadn't been there really since Reagan. So I think that was very important. And Trump was able to somehow thwart that machine in 2016. Can you imagine having lived through a Clinton presidency? The corruption level was just too high. We can see through Stepford Biden's administration also what we're talking about. So yeah, there's a lot of things. Here's my kind of snapshot on it. There's all sorts of dynamics going on. You've got the Trump rebound in all of this. They have the incredible deep state hunt for Trump for 2024. You've got the UFO file, you know, the real release, the actual thing is at our fingertips. That's important too. Then you have the phony CIA disclosure thing, which, by the way, they've failed with their weird versions of ginning up the Elizondo UFO threat op. That didn't work so well the way that they rolled it out. Probably he was a big part of the problem because he was a very unlikable character. So I think that they're going to reform that threat piece. And, you know, like Tom DeLonge, they had to get rid of the Bobo and all that stuff. So they got that recycled out, but the CIA is still hovering around the whole thing. And, you know, whenever you see like Joe Rogan, you know, he's going to have a UFO debate and they're like, hey, Eric Weinstein, you know, he's a physicist, you know, but he doesn't know anything about UFOs. Tucker Carlson, they had him on the show and they were like, what about UFOs? And he's like, oh, I've heard about these, you know, underwater UFOs. I mean, they don't know what the UFO file is all about. This is a big problem. It's a gap in their knowledge. And so somebody like Tucker, who does good shows, don't get me wrong, but he thinks he's edgy covering UFOs. And he's like, here's my guest, you know, CIA man number one, CIA man number two. No, that's misinformation. Those people are feeding you threat narratives. So that's what they're after. And in the background, there's a thing, I've mentioned this before, which is right, literally so close by. and that is Avi Loeb's astrophysics lab. And over there, they're launching a different type of UFO op. But the board, what happened with the board on it is they're all CIA people and Elizondo and Mellon. So that is the plot to build the world's most ambitious alien detector. Avi Loeb is no stranger to controversy and bold ideas. And his latest to find signs of extraterrestrial life may be the boldest and most disputed yet. These are liberal, you know, like Daily Beast and stuff like that. Once you get those people in the CIA looking for UFO disclosure, watch out. You know, there's the phony disclosure. And Loeb is, you know, he's from Talpia. So that's Israeli CIA, basically. And I had a pretty open mind when he was talking about, like, well, you know, I think Oumuamua is an alien probe and all this stuff. But then I saw him filling up the Galileo project with all of these CIA hacks. So that was disturbing immediately. I kind of figured out pretty quickly what they were doing. And then he had a day-long event. It was called UAP Day. And everyone knows, everyone who watches this show knows how I feel about the term UAP. It's a total junker. And UFO is the term. UAP is BS. You know, people who are in the UFO field should never use it, ever. It's interesting because there's a woman out there. She's a professor. And, I've talked about having her on the show, and we will, certainly. But she wrote a book called American Cosmic, and she put out a series of tweets that I think go to the core of this. And I've heard this type of talk a lot. But in this case, she's talking about the Galileo Project, and she says, sometimes you tweet something you regret. I certainly do not regret my tweet about the Galileo Project member who sent me an aggressive email. Since I did that, I received many notes from researchers saying it happened to them too. No idea what's going on. Let's do our research in peace, as she says. So what they did is they went after her because she was suggesting, you know, her own kind of theory around these things. And she's very well credentialed. She thought out her thing. Her book is very good. She has another one coming out. But this group who are trying to say, hey, you know, alien AI is here and they're trying to communicate, and they'll communicate and they'll tell us all these wonderful things. They don't like her being on their same level and giving her own theories. So again, this, you know, the CIA inspired group, Galileo Project, the CIA inspired group, TTSA, they try to bark orders at people about what they can do and cannot do about the UFO file. And they also take over, you know, they had Elizondo as the GQ Man of the Year or something, Hero of the Year. You see the kind of power they have? I mean, that's pretty good. So, you know, remember this, the money that they spent on the TTSA debacles, $50 million. Okay. That's CIA payroll somewhere. So, you know, that's probably black budget money. So when they go around bullying individual researchers, watch them. Don't support them. Don't interview them. If you're Joe Rogan or somebody or Tucker, don't interview CIA bullies. Get real people on. So that's a real huge problem, gigantic. And they're going to have to wake up from that, or they're going to just promote CIA junk, and we'll be in worse trouble with this whole thing in 2024 than we are right now. That's my two cents on it. Whew. All right. The last question, Miss Olivia.
I'm going to pair these. Andy okay. B, DJ, do you really trust the voting machines? And Mitakwe Oyeson, given the Republicans now producing, quote, strategies for mail-in voting, unquote, does DJ think that this may be a massive cheat fest on both sides, thinking mid-1800s New York City voting?
Look, I'd probably agree with everything you just said there. Nonetheless, I still think that it's going to be difficult to do the kind of shenanigans that went on last time. So, you know, they've laid out all kinds of scenarios. In 2016, these papers got leaked from Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, and they were all about scenarios to drive people from showing up at the polls. One of them was a UFO invasion, believe it or not. So they have all these different things laid out there. From my way of thinking about all of this is there is a chance that the wave against them will be so overwhelming that the only thing that they could do would be to try to keep, you know, like Trump off the ballot in certain states, or to try to prevent RFK Jr. from getting into the debates, things of this nature. These are the types of things I think they'll try to thwart. And so I think, you know, it all depends on the wave. How big is that wave? And we need to really hope that the wave is gigantic, and it should be. It's a huge election. I can't tell you how huge. Whenever I go over the stats around 2024 and look at the mess that we're in the country right now, and with the CBDC FedNow thing coming in as well, along with the things that they're working on in the background, with frankly, you know, the UFO threat emergency piece, the continuity of government program, you know, these incredible, like the violent trans thing that they're trying to unleash now, trans terrorists and stuff. I mean, they'll do anything. they'll do anything. Remember the whole BLM thing? And then all the leaders went off and bought houses in LA or whatever. I mean, they'll do anything to create and sow chaos so that they can come in and say, we're the ones who are, you know, calming things down by breaking heads. So we have to be, I think, particularly savvy. If this effort is coming in on both the Republican side and the Democrat side to get rid of the current regime, then we need to get behind that. I don't care what party you're from or which candidate you prefer. The current administration needs to be, they're the object. You know, we need to have them removed. And what's very important is to have people with integrity on the inside, you know, taking over that very important position. And the presidential election does matter. And anyone who tells you that doesn't is wrong. You know, they're totally wrong. Yes.
Lawn Demon, can you please ask DJ who is at the top of the deep state pyramid?
It's Armand.
Is it really?
I rest my case. Okay. Everyone, it's been fantastic to be here with you. And 2024 is going to be pretty wild. We're going to be ready for it. A lot of reports on this. And the UFO disclosure part, getting the real thing versus the CIA threat thing, is going to be very important. I guarantee you disclosure is going to be a very, very important piece of this election. And I think in terms of, you know, our families' lives and for everyone that we know, it's going to be just the most important thing. So let's make sure that we're all on board with it. However, you know, people decide to handle it. Let's make sure that we have all the facts out there and do our very best to push back against the corrupt media and the corrupt regime in charge. We will be back with you next week. But before we go, Miss Olivia.
Okay. I have a bunch of super chatters to thank. Don Newway, Brian Storm, Gillenjoy R, Terry Doherty, Jonathan Kiner, Just a Girl, Ivan Langley, Barry 7676, Jay Vandervest, Eurythmy is Fun, WC Ray, Doreen Hewitt, Erica Swenson Elliott, Steve Vaughn, Egyptian Princess, Global Atlantis, Jimmy Lyle Kenemer, Daniel Robinson, John Folden, Guy Crittenden, Robert Mearns, Pam, Robert Scott, and Gummy Bears, Desk Hat Brock, Alex Jones Heidel, MJ McCarthy, Ghost Malone, The Unboiled Frog, the Philip K. Dick Film Festival, Freya Anderson, Anthony, The Buddhas of Boston Sports, Liliana Butu, Mad Max, Joshua Aaron Oler, Harvardian, Jennifer Walters, Melody Lenz, Nancy Carter, and Susan Blackstone. Thank you so much for your generous super chats.
That's incredible. We really appreciate all your support. And to all our super chatters and to our subscribers for keeping us afloat to do these reports. And for everyone, I think, you know, who gets behind the work that we're doing here, this is a, you know, a very important pivotal time. And we want to be able to deliver the most important work for you. We'll be back with you next week and we'll be keeping an eye on things. If anything comes up in the meantime, you'll see a special report. And the X series, of course, coming back at the end of April, and some exciting interviews coming up for you guys as well. We will see you all next week. And I want to make mention here, I didn't get to it during our show, but there was a huge Russian UFO sighting over one of their nuclear plants yesterday. So we know this whole thing about the nuclear plants and the whole UFO thing. But this is something I'm keeping an eye on and might bring you some reports on that as I hear more things. But it was one of those things. Whenever we get UFOs around nukes, I think we need to pay extra attention, like the Montana situation. And I'll do some shout outs here. Let's see. Where does DJ hide his Easter eggs? Isn't that interesting? Tomorrow is Easter, and I hope everyone has a fantastic Easter. Let's see. Whew. Karen Creekmore, Don Newway, you're a good man. We are all children. Oh, I agree with that. Susan Blackstone. Holy Smoke, Timothy Guessing, Scarlet Fire. Children's Health Defense, right. That's the other thing, of course, the wonderful thing that Bobby Kennedy has done, which is to create this incredible Children's Health Defense organization, and they've got some great people working with them.
They do. They have a lot of integrity.
Maureen O'Brien, Michael Golpe, Silent Murmur. Happy Easter. He is risen. Sammy. Absolutely.
Right on.
Wow. Incredible. And you can kind of feel the weekend has that very, very interesting aura about it. Thomas Ball, Horse Lady. That's great. I like it. I like those horse enthusiasts out there. The Jot, great. Just chances of a 2024 election feels pretty low to me. Interesting. Well, there is that massive, massive eclipse. I didn't even get into that. I'm sure we will soon. Global Atlantis, love the show. Highlight of my week. Thank you for being here, sir. We really appreciate it. We will see you all next week. Scruples, stay safe yourself. And a golden girl, Charles Milligan, Red Pill Lion. I know Kate's out there. It's great to see you. Timothy Guessing. Pray for RFK Jr. Yes, I agree. I agree. Incredible. He's already done incredible things. And we may get just this remarkable opportunity to see him ascend in this political process. Let's hope we do. Eclipse is a year from today. Wow. Well, there you go. That'll be the one. We'll see y'all next week, everyone. And remember, it says end broadcast, but you know, it never really
ends.
Absolutely. Bravo, Miss Olivia. Nicely done. Excellent question.
That was tough tonight.
The ideas room tonight was exceptional, I would say.
It was rollicking.
Saturday nights always are. We'll be back with you Friday next week. So, you know, never let it be forgot. Once there was a Camelot. We'll see y'all next week.
God bless.